Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL is brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. This is Healthcare. Dave's Auto Body. You better call Dave's. Pratty Insurance Agency, your local Pekin Insurance Agency in Galesburg. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square in downtown. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Thorne's Pets and Supplies, building a bond between you and your pet. By Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. And by Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks Football on WGIL.
Good evening from Peoria Richwoods High School. Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you. Brian Prescott, our broadcast engineer for Silver Streaks Football, one final time in this 2011 season. It is senior night for the Knights, who come in with a record of 5-3, conference champions in the Mid-State 6 after a win 28-14 over Quincy Notre Dame last week. The Silver Streaks finished 0-5 in the Western Big 6. Other Big 6 teams in action tonight. The United Township Panthers are in Olympia Fields to battle Rich Central this evening. Holloman at home for their own senior night at Augustana College, battling Kankakee High School. Quincy is at Jerseyville. The Blue Devils need a win to become playoff eligible. And the Moline Maroons already in the playoffs, having swept through the Western Big Six, finishing off the Silver Streaks last week to go 5-0. The Maroons are at home against Rich South tonight. Rock Island Rocks do not play tonight. You might remember way back in the first 2 weeks of the regular season, they actually played three games, a Friday, a Tuesday, and a Friday, because they could not work in a non-conference game during this final week. So the Rocks are done at 5-4, and in all likelihood will not make the playoffs. It appears that they just don't have enough points to make it into the playoffs in Coach Vic Boblett's final year as head coach of the Rocks. Here tonight, the Silver Streaks going with a pretty traditional starting lineup. Really very few changes other than an injury here or there, which has been the pattern throughout the season. Will Anderson, his ninth straight start at quarterback for the Silver Streaks, a 6'1", 180-pound junior. You heard assistant coach Kelly Kane talk in the scouting report about the junior backfield for the Silver Streaks. Trevon Diggins at 5'8", 165. John Mixon at 5'10", 190. Mixon, the leading rusher in the season for the Silver Streaks. The wideouts, Derek Armstrong and Jake Innes, a couple of the few seniors on the offensive side of the ball, and Colton Woolsey starts at tight end. Tyler Brackett back in the starting lineup for the Silver Streaks after nursing a foot injury for the last few weeks. He'll start at left guard, Zane Crowell at left tackle, Manny Valdez the center, right guard Derek Brackett, and right tackle Dylan Hoven. Brackett also will be back in with the punting duties, but it's Drew Carlson who kicks off for the Silver Streaks with the ball teed up at the 40-yard line. Nice to get the weather report from Kelly Kane there. It's like he's trying out for the Weather Channel or something, Jim.
Yeah, I got a little more exhaustive answer there than I thought I was
sure
going to get. But, you know, it is. It's perfect tonight. There is no breeze at all. And cool, but not all that cold. We're finally going to start. We stand around waiting for 5 minutes. Richwoods was a while getting out of the school. They probably could have got a penalty, but they're the home team, so they're not going to.
Not on senior night, anyway. The kickoff fielded at the 13-yard line on a bounce up the middle of the field. A little bit of a hole there, and the Streaks finally make the stop at the 38-yard line of the Richwoods Knights, who will start on offense to begin this game. And what a season they have had offensively, led by none other than Kendrick Foster, a 5'8", 182-pound junior who gets a lot of headlines, and deservedly so. Jim and I talking on the way over how it seems like this kid ought to be about a 10th-year senior by now, and he's only a junior, for crying out loud.
But been playing since he was a freshman, and he just, I cannot believe he's still got a year to go.
And he has done a lot of damage in his 3 years on the varsity level. The fake handoff to him and the toss to the outside to the other tailback, Ryan Mordock, who gets to the outside, picks up about 8 yards on first down as the Knights in one play are almost to midfield up to the 48-yard line.
I expect a really accurate play call tonight from you, Brad, because your eyesight, you found out this week, is getting better and better. So you brought these binoculars. I'm going to use those because you won't need them anymore, and good luck sorting out the backfield.
I'm just going to say Kendrick Foster, Ryan Mordock, Kendrick Foster, because now the Knights, you know,
they're actually going to throw there.
All joking aside, yeah, they will pound the ball, and that is nothing new from what they have done historically, but they've got a pretty good receiver here and a kid who can get the ball into the open field if they give him an opportunity.
Yeah, he's the leading wide receiver in the Mid-State Conference, believe it or not. You wouldn't think that Richwoods would even throw the ball enough to find out if the kid could do that. But they didn't. I don't think he caught a pass last week against Notre Dame. They kept it pretty much on the ground, as Richwoods usually does, but they do have that ability to throw.
False start penalty moves him back five. Now the toss to the outside, and getting the outside is Mordock. Runs over Trevon Diggins, who hangs on for dear life at the 39-yard line of the Silver Streaks, but they lost five on the penalty and picked up about three times that on the run by Mordock inside Galesburg territory at the 39-yard line, a pickup of 18.
You know, it's amazing. Mordock at 5'9", 159 pounds, and playing in this level, 5A, they said they might even go 6A in the playoffs. That's awfully small, but there was an article in the Journal Star on him today about what a hard-nosed player he is and how he's really the glue to this team sometimes.
Out of the I formation, the handoff goes to Foster, trying to bully his way to the outside, and he gets run out of bounds by the Silver Streaks, who get on his backside, and it's Nathan Eck who pushes him out of bounds. Foster moves it up to the 35-yard line and pick up a four.
Yeah, on this Richwoods team, there are times over the years when we've played them that they'll not be very spectacular for a series or two, but then defensively they'll hold you, and then all of a sudden they'll run a fullback dive 50 yards right up the middle for a touchdown. It's the most frustrating thing.
Well, and how many times did we see them with a quarterback over here who would just tuck it in and run behind his running backs, and he would run for a long time? Joe Brereton is a guy who really comes to mind. A long flag from the back judge comes down as Mordock goes to the outside, and he must have thrown that 10 yards on that penalty, threw it right into the action of the play.
Well, in fact, it hit Clayton Kerr in a helmet. The fullbacker split in for Richwoods.
It's going to be a hold against the Knights, and this one will come back. The ball was taken just a yard short of the first down, down to the Galesburg 31-yard line, but the 10-yard penalty will move the Knights back. Spot of the flag at the 35, so this may push him back to the 45. Just underway here in the first quarter, Silver Streaks and Peoria Richwoods, a long history between these two teams. It dates back to 1957. Galesburg won the first five in the series, but believe it or not, they've won only seven times since then. The last time, back in 2002, the last time the Silver Streaks went to the playoffs with a record of just 5-4. Fake handoff up the middle. McCormick throws it across the middle of the field. It's caught by Mordock inside the 25-yard line. Down to the 22 of the Silver Streak. So it's not even their favorite receiver they go to. It's to Mordock coming all the way out of the tailback spot into the open field and downfield to the 22 for a gain of 23.
Very accurate throw. Trevon Diggins, I thought, had pretty good coverage on Mordock that time, but the ball was right there. Trevon tackled him immediately, but not before they moved the chains with the ball sitting at the 22. You know, Brad, you mentioned about how Richwoods has won this series, but it's not like the Moline games. There have been some real good ball games in this series. Galesburg has just come up short many occasions.
To the left side it goes. Richwoods doesn't take much time in huddle. They get to the line and they run it quickly, and the handoff goes left across the 20 down to the Galesburg 19-yard line.
Last year's game was terrific. That final game of the season, the
14-6.
Yeah, we thought the Streaks played one of our best games of the year, and then watch Richwoods go on and beat Joliet Catholic in the playoffs, and that gave us a little indication of how well we played that particular night. Our final night, senior night, was over at GHS, and our seniors gave it all they had but couldn't quite beat a state power team.
Hand off up the middle as Foster found a little bit of a hole. He cut back to the right, got taken down inside the 15 to the 14-yard line of the Silver Streaks. Kendrick Foster, not much action in the early going. Ryan Mordock has done most of the damage for the Knights coming out of the backfield. But Foster gains five there, down to the Streaks' 14-yard line, and third and two upcoming. First third down of the night faced by Richwoods.
Well, that game last week allowed Richwoods to regain the mid-state title. Quincy Notre Dame had won it the previous year, and it was tied at 14 before Foster had a long run. Then they tacked on another score, so they got challenged again by the folks from Quincy.
Hand off to Foster up the middle in short yardage situation. Looks like he got the first down close to the 11-yard line. And if that's where the spot is, he needed two and he gained three, and the officials don't even measure. Move the chains. First and 10 from the Galesburg 11 now. And on the opening possession of the game, the Knights have marched it right downfield into the red zone to the Galesburg 11-yard line. Still could get a first down at the one, but they're certainly thinking much more than that here, just underway, 9 minutes to go first quarter.
Yeah, just 3 minutes off the clock. Seems like it's been a little bit longer than that. But the Knights stopping the clock a few times with penalties that set them back, but by and large, they're moving forward.
Toss goes to the outside. Mordock trying to get to the corner. He's to the five and dragged down from behind by Trevon Diggins. Touchdown saving tackle. It'd be very close to the 1 yard line. Trevon grabbed him and just held on. And Trevon slid down, pulled Mordock right down along with him. The ball sitting right at the one. And they're not going to give him the first down. They're actually going to move it back a couple of feet, it looks like. Spotted at the two for a second and one.
Mordock has been the key player in this drive for Richwoods. And, you know, that was another case. I don't know that our defenders really expect him to be as strong as he is, because he pushed us back at 159 pounds, but he runs really hard.
Single setback on second and one. Handoff goes left to Kendrick Foster. Flag up from the line judge as Foster gets stopped short of the goal line. It's enough for a first down. But let's see what the flag is here as the officials gather inside. Looks like the nose of the football is about 6 inches short of the goal line.
You'd think this is against the offense, but we'll wait and see. If it's half the distance to the goal, it's not going to hurt us any.
Not any. It almost can't get any closer than where it is right now. Long discussion and a false start called against Richwood. So they'll move it back 5 yards. It goes from the Galesburg 2 back to the Galesburg 7. It'll be second and 6. Third penalty of the drive on the Knights, but each of the previous two penalties they have followed with long running plays that have more than gotten enough for the first down. Three penalties for 20 yards on this opening drive. Approaching the 8-minute mark of the first quarter, no score. It's the opening possession in the game, and the Knights are down to the Silver Streaks 7-yard line on second and 6. Handoff up the middle. Across right tackle, Foster moves to his right, gets taken down inside the 5-yard line, close to the 4. It'll be third down for the Knights after a gain of 3.
Tackle on the play for O'Brien Allen for the Silver Streaks. Also Drew Carlson in there. And the Streaks trying to hold out Richwoods. And, you know, as we mentioned, it's kind of a chilly night, but it's not too bad. I was down there before the game, and Jake Ennis, he came over to me and said, "Man, I'm hot." So he just dropped trowel right there and pulled off his shorts. He had an extra pair of shorts that he'd worn underneath. Thought he was going to be cold, so he took those off. And Coach King came over and said, "What are you doing? I don't want to see that."
Handoff goes to the right. Foster again getting down low, and then he comes out upright in for the touchdown. A 4-yard touchdown run for the Peoria Richwoods Knights. Comes on the 10th play of the opening drive, and they get the opening possession, the opening touchdown, and the opening lead, 6-0 with 7:21 to go in the first quarter.
You probably safely call that a system touchdown. As so many times, Richwood's not spectacular, but efficient. Although they did have 3 penalties, that was not very Richwood's-like, but they still got the job done.
9 of their 10 plays on the ground with 1 pass completion. A booming kick is more than good enough for the extra point. 7-0 Lights, the Streaks opening possession coming up on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Breedlove's is the answer. If you were just asking yourself, so where would LeBron James and Lance Armstrong shop if they were in downtown Kewaunee? Breedlove Sporting Goods. And don't you want to shop where two of the world's greatest athletes would shop if they were in downtown Kewaunee? For team uniforms, sports equipment, custom lettering, screen printing, tons of shoes, spirit wear, and Letterman jackets for all area high schools, and the top brands like Wilson, Rawlings, Louisville Slugger, and Adidas. Specializing in custom lettering, signs, trophies, medals, plaques, and awards. And the top shopping spot of LeBron James and Lance Armstrong when they do finally visit downtown Kewaunee. Breedlove Sporting.
It's a travel day for the St. Louis Cardinals as they head to Texas for Game 3 of the World Series tomorrow night. We'll have the broadcast with pregame coverage at 6, the first pitch at 7:05 Saturday on WGIL.
Cedric Washington, Trevon Diggins standing at the 10-yard line for the Silver Streaks, awaiting the first kickoff and their first offensive possession. And lining it up for the Knights at the 40-yard line. And the booming kick away, sending Washington back to the 1-yard line where he lets it drop and it rolls into the end zone. The Streaks will take over at their own 20-yard line.
Well, unfortunately, we've gotten accustomed to doing that more than we'd like this year. We've faced so many teams, in fact, the last 3 weeks in a row, Quincy, Moline, and now Richwoods. We have faced kickers with booming legs that hardly give us any chance to return on a kickoff, and that's one of our big threats. We're kind of like the Chicago Bears. We need that big return once a game to have a chance, and these kickers are just out kicking us.
Derek Armstrong for the Silver Streaks lines up left to the near side, the home side of the field. Jake Armstrong, the wide out to the far side of the field. Colton Woolsey comes left, tight end, and out of the I formation. The handoff goes up the middle to John Mixon, who breaks three through a hole, clutches the ball, hangs on to it, and he falls forward after the tackle into first down territory at the 31-yard line. What a run by John Mixon to open this game.
And I think John's just gotten better and better as the season has gone along. And I don't for the teams that Richwoods has played, I don't know they've had any runners that are going to be any tougher or harder to bring down than what Mixon will be here tonight. Love to see that initial surge and a first down on the first play. Mixon, our player of the game last week for a 200-yard effort.
Handoff goes to the tailback, Cedric Washington. This time he gets caught up in the swarm around the line of scrimmage, ducks down low, and then gets moved backward. I think he might have gotten at least back to the line of scrimmage for no gain on first down. First carry of the night for the Silver Streaks senior tailback.
Every time I see Cedric, I think of that second game of the season against Morton, our first possession, and he took it all the way, what, about 60 yards for a touchdown?
Yep.
And you're thinking, well, maybe there's some magic in this team after all. But that was his highlight of the season, and Streaks went on to fall in that game to Morton, but it was sure an exciting moment.
Coach Tim Doherty and I were talking yesterday about that Morton game, reminding ourselves that the Potters coughed it up three times in that first quarter that night. We thought things might really get happening, and Streaks weren't able to turn any of those into any points, though, and ended up with an interception that Morton returned for a defensive touchdown that tied the game. And Coach Tim Doherty telling me yesterday he really thought that was the play of the season almost. It really kind of turned things around negatively for the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, and sometimes you can ride a while on when you got confidence. We came off that first game just brimming with confidence.
Yep.
And I think you feel like you can play with anybody, and then all of a sudden a big play or two like that, and you get down in the dauber down, and things snowball on you.
Third and one for the Silver Streaks after a gain of 9 by Mixon. Handoff goes to the right. Looks like the Silver Streaks are going to get the first down. Not by much, but Mixon advances it across the 40 to the 42-yard line. Again, he gets down low, gets those legs pumping, and a nice, sturdy little run by John Mixon to move the chains for the Silver Streaks on their first third down conversion of the night. First and 10 from the 42.
Well, assistant coach Kelly Kane, who we heard on the scouting report, has to be pleased with his young offensive line, mostly juniors up front there, doing a good job here in this first drive as the Silver Streaks try and respond to the Richwoods touchdown.
The only senior in the offensive line is Tyler Brackett, who's back in the starting lineup tonight after being out 3 weeks with a foot injury. We're past the midpoint of the first quarter. Streaks on their opening drive, trying to get back in the game, down 7-0. Cedric Washington with a toss to the outside. He's in first down territory, up the Galesburg sideline, out of bounds at Richwood's 46-yard line.
Good play call that time. The Streaks had kept everything pretty much inside between the tackles for the most part in our opening series. That time we pitch it out wide right. Richwood seemed to be sucked inside a little bit there, and nice room to run for Washington, and the Streaks across midfield at the Richwoods 47.
Gain of 14 for Cedric Washington. Want to go through our final round of Hungry Hobo touchdown contestants. Jody Johnson of Galesburg hoping the Silver Streaks can score a touchdown in this opening quarter, and if they do, Jody wins a $10 gift certificate from Hungry Hobo in Galesburg. She'll also be entered in the contest of the drawing at the end of the season for a party sub. So good luck to Jody Johnson. Counting on the Silver Streaks to find the end zone, but they won't do it on that play as John Mixon works his way left and gets hit short of the line of scrimmage, and he'll lose almost a yard on the play. Well, actually, they're actually going to move the ball forward about a foot closer to the 46-yard line, so no gain on first down for John Mixon. Second and 10 for the Silver Streaks at the Knights' 46-yard line. 4:45 to go in the first quarter. Richwood scored on their opening possession and lead it 7-0.
Tackle on the play by Nick Parks, number 20. I thought it was Jerry James there for a while. The running back wore that number 20. Seemed like forever, just used to destroy us over here for a number of years.
Cedric Washington splits out wide left as a receiver. The handoff goes to Mixon, who gets slowed down at the ankles and then finished off at the 45-yard line for a gain of 1. Brings up 3rd and 9. Thanks to one of our sponsors here on WGIL, Galesburg Nissan, for providing our transportation to Peoria tonight. Jim and I traveling in a 2010 Nissan Maxima. And what another luxury ride, but we should mention the certified pre-owned benefits that you can take advantage of at Galesburg Nissan. There's 15 of the certified pre-owns left in stock, and they all offer just under 2.6% financing for 60 months. Tell you more about the 2010 Nissan Maxima here in just a moment after the Streaks run this 3rd and 9 play from the Richwoods 45 out of the I formation.
It's going to be 3rd and 14 now.
Oh, timeout called by the Silver Streaks before they got called for delay of game. So gives us a little more opportunity to talk about the car, Jim.
Yeah, I think it's at least the second time we've had this particular model, and I'm surprised that it's still around, because to drive it is, I didn't know they made cars this fun still to drive, that this quality. It was terrific the first time, and now we've gotten used to it. At least I know that it's got a big, strong engine, so I've learned to harness that in a little bit. The first time, I wasn't sure whether I might be a little too far over the speed limit.
You're kind of free and easy there on that first attempt.
Yeah. I hadn't driven a car with that much power in a long, long time, but now we're getting spoiled. We're getting used to it. The leather inside, black leather, and the sports steering wheel, and you can go on and on. This thing drives as good as anything I've ever driven.
I was giving Jeff Klink a hard time a couple of weeks ago when we had, if not this very same car, a very similar one, when we drove down to Quincy. I got in and saw the heated seats and the heated steering wheel, and what was it, 80 degrees, something like that, when we went down there. And I said, you know, I'm not complaining. I'm kind of glad we don't need to use these, but this car has it all.
Well, actually, on the way to Quincy, you, by mistake, had the heated seat on and wondered why it was so hot in there. So, it'll come in
handy. They work well.
It'll come in handy in basketball season.
Two wideouts to the right for the Streaks coming out of the timeout. That's Washington and Jake Innes. Single setback is John Mixon. The handoff goes left, but Anderson on the quarterback keeper. Gets close to the first down inside the Richwood's 35, and he has the first down. Knocked out of bounds at the 34. One of the better runs we've seen by quarterback Will Anderson, just tucking it in. Good lead block by Mixon after the fake handoff, and the Streaks with a nice third down conversion to keep this opening drive alive.
Yeah, you know, Will Anderson, not real fleet of foot, but if he gets the opportunity, he takes long strides and he can gain some yardage. You got that nearby sideline here on the Richwood sideline, and his number seven knocked out by the counterpart number seven for Richwood's Mikhail Davis.
Streaks showing a lot of movement in the backfield as players shift from one side of the line to the other. Mixon lines up as the fullback, gets the handoff, and gets to the 35-yard line coming out of the backfield, but he loses a yard on first down.
Yeah, whoever was doing the lead blocking for him there was having trouble, and then big Zach Jackson came over and wrapped him up from the backside. Not much of a chance for Mixon that time, so Streaks drive at second and 11 now. This could be one of those unusual quarters if we keep this up where each team will have had the ball one time.
Richwood's had the ball 4 minutes and 39 seconds on the opening possession, a 10-play scoring drive that covered 61 yards. This is the 10th play of the Silver Streaks opening drive with 3 minutes to go in the first quarter. Out of the eye on second and 11, Mixon, the handoff to the right side, and he gets wrapped up from behind and brought down by, again, Zach Johnson, who gets the tackle. Mixon gains not quite a yard. Actually, they'll put him back at the line of scrimmage close to the Richwood's 34-yard line, and the Silver Streaks with another third and long coming up.
Well, with the ball inside the 35-yard line, this is two-down territory, so it isn't a definite that you have to throw the ball here on third and nine, but they're actually third and a little over 10, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we may see it in the air.
Streaks have not attempted a pass in this game yet. They face third and 10.5. With two more shifts and one to the backfield as Cedric Washington lines up dotting the eye. Anderson tucks it in, finds a hole across right tackle, spins down inside the 25-yard line, and he's very close to a first down. Depends where the knee came down. Let's see where the spot is. They're actually going to move the ball back right on the 25 as a yard short of the first down. But as Jim said, it's two down territory, and this gives the Streaks a chance to convert on fourth down now.
Very impressed with Will Anderson on that play. He executed that with a lot of confidence, because if you delay on that, you allow the defense to adjust and fill that hole. But he knew exactly what he wanted to do, carried it out, disguised the ball well, and then took off up the gap with confidence. Nice job by the blocking on the right side. That was a solid offensive play.
Fourth and one with 95 seconds to go in the first quarter. Fourth and one from the Richwood's 25. 12th play of the drive. Goes to the right side, the handoff, and it looks like the Streaks may have enough for the first down as they advance it down to the 23-yard line.
He got knocked back, but his forward progress, I would think, would pick it up.
Like Mixon, looks like Mixon's helmet came off. That's about the fifth time this season, I think, that his helmet has come off. But more importantly, he may have lost his helmet, but he hung on to the ball, and the Streaks have a fourth down conversion and have a new set of downs at the 23-yard line.
Now the clock at 1:20 and counting. Unless we turn it over right here, this will be a first quarter where each team has only had the ball one time. Don't think we've seen that all year.
Out of the eye, the handoff to the tailback. Not much for Trevon Diggins. straight up the middle, gains a yard down to the Richwoods 22-yard line.
He ran into one of the Richwoods big boys that time, Malik Young, 6'1", 333.
Well, I was too optimistic on the spot. I thought Trevon got farther ahead than he did. They're actually going to move him back a foot. No gain on first down. First carry of the night for the tailback, Trevon Diggins, down to 35 seconds to go. Possibly the last play of the first quarter. Woolsey shifts over, tight end left. Out of the offset eye, the toss into the backfield, trying to keep things open for Trevon. He gets brought down from behind. Looked like there was going to be a hole there, but somebody got out and got him with an arm, slowed him down, and then finished him off. A couple of guys in on the tackle, Michael McElrath and Keith King for the Richwoods Knights. Down to 10 seconds to go. That's going to be the first quarter. Both teams had it once. Streak's drive is still alive on 3rd and 9. When we come back for the second quarter at Richwoods High School, the Knights on top, 7-0. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You sit with a towel wrapped around your wet hair, which you washed in freezing cold water, thinking of all the things you're missing. Hot showers, blow dryers, curling irons, flushing toilets, phone chargers, and Project Runway. Wasn't your last power outage experience brutal enough? With the Generac automatic standby generator from Galesburg Electric, you'll never have to worry about losing power again. Electricity is automatically restored at the first sign of a power outage. Get peace of mind with a Generac automatic standby generator from Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg.
I'm WGIL News Director Will Stevenson. News tips, story ideas, comments, questions, we welcome them all. Email us anytime, news@WGIL.com.
One quarter gone at Richwoods High School. Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you for Galesburg High School football. Brian Prescott, our broadcast engineer. Richwoods Knights scored in 10 plays on their opening drive. Silver Streaks have had it since the 7-12 mark of the first quarter. And their drive is still going at the Richwoods 22-yard line with a 3rd and 9 upcoming to open the second quarter. So this is approaching an 8-minute drive, which the Silver Streaks certainly hope to finish off in the end zone. And what a great way to keep the ball out of the Knights' hands. Put together a nice drive here, but still got to finish it off on 3rd and 9 here. First play of the second quarter. Out of the eye, Jake Innes in motion, right to left. Handoff goes up the middle. Not much there for John Mixon, but he worms his way through inside the 20-yard line down to the 19. Just didn't look like there was much there at all, but somehow Mixon gains 3. 2-down territory again, but instead of 4th and 1, Streaks are facing a 4th and 6 now.
And Mixon got squashed that time by the big kid again, Malik Young, the 330-pound senior. And he's not even the biggest guy on the team.
No.
Charles Cannon goes 6'6", 317. He looks like a D1 prospect, although I don't show him starting on either side of the ball tonight for whatever reason.
Malik Young goes 6'1", 333. Anderson turns around in the backfield. Uh-oh. There's nobody to hand it off to, and he's sacked back at the 20-yard line, and the Streaks' drive comes to an end after 16 plays, and they do not score. So the Knights take over at their own 20, 11:15 to go in the first half, leading 7-0.
A little bit like last year. We moved the ball in this game against Richwoods over at our place, but pretty tough to get any points on the board outside of that 6 and dropped it, as you said, 14-6. And the real backbreaker here will be if they take it down and go up 2 touchdowns. So we did put such a nice drive together. We're winning the field position battle here, but we can't give up a big bunch of yards.
Handoff goes to the left side, and there's Mordock up the near sideline, and he may take it all the way. Nobody for the Silver Streaks is going to catch him. Out of the mouth of Jim Lee and 80 yards downfield, and the Knights now lead 13-0.
Oh, we've just seen it happen so many times over the years when you can't finish off a drive. You get a little moral victory in being able to have such a nice drive, but bottom line is still the bottom line. You got to get points on the board, and when that doesn't happen, all it takes is one lapse on defense, and certainly was a big lapse there as Mordock got the sideline, and we just weren't ready for the play, and they're up 13-0.
He's over 100 yards rushing now with a touchdown. He's run for 9, 18, 9, and now an 80-yard touchdown run. That took 9, make it 11 seconds off the clock, and the Silver Streaks come in and get the block on the extra point. But little consolation for the Silver Streaks, who now trail 13-0 on Richwood's senior night. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
This is Mary from Brighter Life Bookshop, and tomorrow from 9:30 to 4, we are celebrating our 19th anniversary. Come in and enjoy lunch from 11:30 to 1, or just walk around and experience the store with 25% off most items, and register to win fabulous door prizes. Vera Bradley East-West Totes will be on sale for $39, regularly $52. Come experience Brighter Life Bookshop during our 19th anniversary sale tomorrow at 292 East Simmons in downtown Galesburg.
Charge of your wallet and your future with advice from Clark Howard. Weekdays at 3 on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Coach Tim Doherty talked in the pregame show about one of the Streaks' keys to victory tonight is winning the time of possession. Well, they're doing that pretty dominantly, as a matter of fact. But they trail by two touchdowns. The kickoff fielded by Cedric Washington at the 5. Tries to get to the outside, and he's run out of bounds at the 20.
Well, it figures we spent so much of the week focusing on the great Kendrick Foster, the running back for Richwoods, and
yeah,
he's not even a factor in this. It's all Ryan Mordock catching passes, running touchdowns, making defensive plays.
Well, he's certainly a weapon. It's no secret to the Silver Streaks of what he is capable of doing, but sure, they certainly didn't expect him to do it as much as he is doing it here tonight.
You know, it never surprises me when a guy that goes in the upper 150s weight-wise can make do some damage in Class 1A. But, boy, at this level, 4, 5, 6A, for a kid to be able to get much done, that's really amazing with that limited size.
From the Galesburg 21-yard line, the handoff goes to the left. Streaks doing a nice job to kind of work their way across left tackle, across the 25 to the 26-yard line. It was John Mixon who had the carry, and again, done a nice job. You could see Richwood's trying to get in there and strip that ball out of his hands. And Mixon, who's been prone to some fumbles earlier in the season, has done a much better job in recent weeks of protecting the football. He gains 5 on first down. 10 carries, 33 yards in the early going for John Mixon. Out of the eye on 2nd and 5, under 10.5 minutes to go before halftime. Streaks down 13-0. Handoff right, a little bit of a hole, but not enough there for the Silver Streaks, who move it to the 28-yard line. Ben Curry in among the stop out of the linebacker spot, and apparently they coughed up the football, never saw it come out of there, and the Knights have recovered, so the damage accumulating quickly for the Silver Streaks, who turned it over in the night at the 30-yard line.
That must have been at the tail end of that play, because I was on that with binoculars, and I didn't see that come out of there. I'd kind of given up on the play as well. But I don't see any argument from the Streaks players or the sideline. They must have agreed that it came out just before he hit the ground, and that's the last thing we needed, is to give Richwoods the ball in good field position here again. Down 13-0 already.
Through the first half of the season, turnovers really weren't much of a problem. Oh. Now they're going to go for the home run, and they got it. Right up the middle of the field, the pass thrown perfectly to Clayton Glasper for the touchdown, and the Knights now lead 19-0 on a 31-yard pass play.
Just like in the NFL, many times you see a turnover and you go for the big play right off the bat. And the Streaks, again, I got a feeling these two defensive plays, we've given up the big scores. It just doesn't look like we're ready for the play. I mean, just a step slow in getting to the sideline route on Mordock, that other one, and then that play, my goodness, Gasper was wide open right up the middle. No question that was going to be a touchdown.
Two pass plays on the evening for the quarterback, who now goes to the far corner of the end zone intended for Kevin Kerr. He overthrows him. But Wes McCormick has two pass completions tonight for 54 yards, and that a perfectly thrown touchdown pass to Clayton Glasper. The two-point conversion is not successful, but the Knights now lead 19-0 with 10:08 to go before halftime. And speaking of halftime, our next broadcast will be basketball, and coming up at halftime, we have a basketball-themed interview, Jim.
Yeah, we do. Bruce Fershaw, who's a great spokesman for what they're trying to put together over in Danville, IBCA Basketball Hall of Fame, and I think you'll really enjoy what he has to say if you follow basketball in the state at all. And he came and spoke to the Rotary Club here last week in Galesburg, and knows his history of basketball, knows a lot of people around the state, and knows his Galesburg basketball. You'll hear him allude to that. He met with coaches Massey and Reynolds as well, and a very interesting basketball interview coming up at the half.
K Kickoff moves Diggins back into the end zone, so the Streaks will take over this possession now at their own 20-yard line. So the Silver Streaks now have done some nice things offensively tonight. The one thing they didn't do was get it into the end zone, and the Richwoods Knights in the last 1 minute, I'm sorry, in the last 59 seconds have scored two touchdowns, in addition to the one they already had on their opening possession in the first quarter, and now lead 19-0. So the Streaks will try to work their way back into this game now. Down three touchdowns, need to keep the ball for a while, and most importantly, get a touchdown. Handoff up the middle to Mixon. Bounces off a linebacker, bounces another one. Over to the 27-yard line, he picks up seven on first down. It's Dwayne Ricketts of Galesburg who's hoping the Silver Streaks can move this one downfield and find the end zone. Dwayne, our Hungry Hobo touchdown contestant here in the second quarter. The Silver Streaks score. A $10 gift certificate from Hungry Hobo in Galesburg goes to Dwayne Ricketts. Name familiar to some Silver Streaks football fans over the years, huh?
Yeah, his son,
athletics in general.
Ryan playing down in WIU where the Leavenex have had an up-and-down season so far this year.
Second and three for the Silver Streaks. Handoff goes left across tackle, close to the 30-yard line, close to a first down. It'll be about a yard short for Mixon, who's the last one off the bottom of the pile. And it'll be third and one coming up.
You know, and you said he's the last one off the bottom of the pile, and you know, this kid for Richwoods is the pile. That 330-pounder, that's all it takes. He's a one-man pile, and he was the one that brought him down.
Third and one for the Silver Streaks. They're 2-for-4 on third down tonight from their own 29-yard line, out of the eye. Anderson loses the ball on the snap and a scramble for it. No reaction from Richwood, so apparently the Silver Streaks were able to recover this fumble. But on third and one in their own territory at the 29-yard line, not in the kind of position where they might think about going for it on fourth down, unless they look at the fact that they're down already three touchdowns, but the special teams unit is coming out.
Well, if you had instant replay, I think you'd see that we actually fumbled it twice. I think he came away from center, didn't have a good handle. I had to reach back for it, then thought he had it, and then it hit the ground again. And so here we go with the punt team out there.
Tyler Brackett's first punt in the last 4 weeks as he's back in following his foot injury. Good snap to him. And the kick kind of deadened in the colder air tonight, and it's taken fair catch at the Richwoods 42-yard line. And as I look across the field, Jim, is that some fog I see starting to develop over there on the baseball diamond? Surely we wouldn't have any fog come rolling in here, would we?
I don't think so, because the lights around are all clear. So, you know, some of the moisture could be possible. I don't know. Maybe there's some nets over there around it, too, or something that
give you
that impression. I thought it was funny as you talked with Coach Doherty about what's different at Richwoods. He said, well, the trees are taller around the field than when he used to be here. He
was 30 years ago.
Yeah, he said the program's exactly the same. They're doing the same things, but the trees have grown.
Knights taking over at their own 42-yard line. A toss into the backfield to a different running back this time, but it's Kendrick Foster who gets to the outside, run out of bounds across the 45 to the 46-yard line. Foster picks up about five on first down. Again, he's not been the go-to guy tonight for the Knights, even though he's been the go-to guy on the season, the real workhorse, and the guy who's done a lot of damage against a lot of teams. But it's Ryan Mordock tonight who's been the real go-to guy. Five carries for 116 yards and an 80-yard touchdown run, along with a 23-yard pass reception back in the first quarter. Second and five here now. Handoff. Give it to Foster again. Cuts back across the middle. Push down. Drag down. Still on his feet. As the Silver Streaks just kind of hang on for dear life, and Zane Crowell is just dragged 5 yards downfield.
He really was. You know, and Zane's a strong kid. He's 6'2", 235, and to tell you how strong Foster, he literally was just dragging him at a high rate of speed down the field with him. That was impressive.
Gain of 17 for the Knights on first down into Galesburg territory, now at the 36-yard line. So Foster now starting to pick up some nice yardage. He was quiet in the first quarter. They didn't need him.
Uh-oh.
Back to pass after the fake. McCormick looks downfield. Mordock open again, and he got turned the wrong way, and it falls incomplete. Yeah. Jake Innes on the coverage downfield. Mordock like a center fielder getting turned around, going for a deep fly ball. And once he righted himself, he still almost managed to catch it.
Yeah, he had a step or two on Jake that time. Had to hold up for the ball a little bit, like you said, and turn around. If he hits him in stride, that's probably a touchdown. But fortunately for us, it was dropped. And so it'll go back to a second down and 10. You know, I was thinking, I had kind of forgotten, the first time I was ever at this field, it was not for a football game. They used to use it for concerts at the Heart of Illinois Fair right next door here. I saw Sawyer Brown in concert out here on the football field.
I'll be darned. Handoff goes right, and this time Foster is pushed backwards. Two silver streaks are right there. Drew Carlson, Jake Innes just running back. But Foster's forward progress got him a yard. To the 35-yard line. It'll be 3rd and 9 upcoming. Sawyer Brown, whatever happened to those guys? I liked them.
Yeah, I think they had just done it for long enough that they finally cashed it in a little bit ago. Mike Miller, I think, their lead. Is it Mike Miller? Does that sound right?
Mark Miller,
their lead
singer.
Still
didn't seem like they'd been around that long.
I think he became a producer, and he did some work in Christian music as well.
That's
partnered
right.
with Stephen Curtis Chapman on some things. But, they put on a great – they used to build a big stage out here with the lights and everything right on the football field. But they don't have those big concerts over here anymore.
Back to pass on 3rd down. The rush is on. The flat on a screen play. The pass is caught to the near side and run out of bounds at the 25-yard line. Perfectly executed to Ryan Mordock. And that's a 1st down. Just a yard past the 1st down marker is where they get, but enough to move the chains down to the 25 on a 10-yard pass play.
Senior Nathan Eck on the tackle for the Silver Streaks. The suplex on that one took him and threw him over the top of him on the sidelines. Nobody comes up worse for the wear, though, except the Streaks, who have to stay on the field after giving up a 1st down. Richwood sustains their drive. And plenty of time left for another score for the Knights. The ball at the 25, and there's still 6:50 to go in this second quarter.
Knights are 3 for 3 on 3rd downs tonight, leading 19-0 over the Silver Streaks. Back to pass again. McCormick rolling right. Good protection. Finds a man Woo! Open in the flat, and Innes crushes Mordock, and somehow he makes the catch.
Boy, I didn't know Jake could put a big hit like that on. That's a good play by Jake Innes.
And what a catch by Mordock, to his credit, too. I mean, he no sooner had that ball than Jake was bearing on top of him and leveled him, but Mordock hung on to it for a gain of 5. So Mordock with 3 receptions now for 38 yards. And Richwood's a little slow to bring the play in from the sideline here as McCormack, the quarterback, brings it in from the sideline, and head coach Roland Brown at the Galesburg 20-yard line, 2nd and 5. Another fake handoff. Pass goes to the left side this time and overthrows the intended receiver. Again, heading to the outside in double coverage, actually. So it looked like
good pressure that time for the Streaks. Drew Carlson got in there. And let's see, who else is helping him out? I think Jacob Ryden in there as well. So those two guys bearing down in a hurry, and that's the best way to stop a passing attack is just don't give the quarterback much time. Make him throw it before he wants to, and that was the case there.
3rd and 5 for the Knights. Halfway through the second quarter, Richwood's on top on their senior night here, leading 19-0. We'll start checking in on some of the Western Big Six non-conference games here as those are underway or close to being underway, depending on the preliminary games of those individual locations. Out of the shotgun now, McCormack tucks it in. He just dragged down from behind. Drew Carlson got into the backfield, and a loss of a yard for the quarterback McCormack, and it brings up 4th down.
Well, Streaks at least making some hits for losses here, making a bit of a stand. I don't know if they'll hold them on 4th down or not, but they've had a couple of back-to-back plays, giving the Knights something to think about.
First time the Knights do not convert on 3rd down tonight, leading 19-0 over the Silver Streaks. Clock still running at 5:30 to go. And a long discussion on the sideline. Now the Knights call timeout. So they'll talk it over a little bit more here with the ball sitting at the Galesburg 20-yard line. 4th and 6 for the Knights upcoming. 5:28 to go, second quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You sit with a towel wrapped around your wet hair, which you washed in freezing cold water, thinking of all the things you're missing. Hot showers, blow dryers, curling irons, flushing toilets, phone chargers, and Project Runway. Wasn't your last power outage experience brutal enough? With the Generac Automatic Standby Generator from Galesburg Electric, you'll never have to worry about losing power again. Electricity is automatically restored at the first sign of a power outage. Get peace of mind with a Generac Automatic Standby Generator from Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Brad Binowitz, Jim Lee with you from Peoria Richwoods High School, where the Knights on their senior night lead the Silver Streaks 19-0. 5:28 to go here in the first half. And the Knights coming out of a timeout on 4th and 6 from the Galesburg 21-yard line. Now McCormick back under center out of the I formation. Fakes the handoff. It goes on the double handoff coming from the wideout on the outside. And Mordock wrapped up, knocked out of bounds. And he's got the first down, though, inside the 15 to the 13-yard line. And a perfectly executed play on not quite an end around, but it had some makings of it. And they move the chains on a fourth down conversion.
Yeah, pretty good recovery by Jonathan Mixon and Jake Ennis that time to be able to come over and force Mordock out of bounds just before I thought he was going to turn that corner and maybe be taking it all the way, but the Streaks able to cut him off, but he did get the first down.
Ball sitting at the Galesburg 12-yard line after a gain of 9. Mordock with 5 carries for 125 yards and a touchdown. It goes to Foster getting to the outside. Ooh, tripped up in the open field. Good job by Drew Carlson to prevent that one from going all the way. Foster's close to another first down, though, inside the 10, inside the 5-yard line.
Not for Drew Carlson's left arm, though. He walks into the end zone. Carlson made a terrific play laying on the ground that time to reach out and trip up the leading Peoria rusher.
Second and 1. From the Galesburg 3-yard line after a gain of 9. So the Knights very close after starting this drive at their own 42-yard line. The 11th play of the drive upcoming. The Knights so far have scored on every possession, leading 19-0 and in motion. And then Matt Cruzen just kind of pulls up, tosses his head back and into the air as the Knights weren't executing. In fact, McCormick had come back out from under center and had looked over to the sideline, and it was clear there was some confusion there. So a timeout called with 4:37 to go in this first half, and the Knights with a 3-touchdown lead over the Streaks.
It seems odd. We've become so accustomed the last two Friday nights to watching for Cardinal baseball scores that I'm just looking for a few other high school scores tonight instead of keeping glued to every happening of the Cardinals, who have the night off. Worked out pretty well for us this week.
Yeah, it really did. And Cardinal baseball tomorrow, first pitch is, what, 7:05 thereabouts,
yes.
I believe.
Yep.
So
the whole series is exactly the same starting time, 7:05 across the board.
So our coverage on WGIL with ESPN then is,
six
what,
o'clock.
Right after 6?
Yep.
Right at 6.
Well,
okay.
I had somebody call the studio today and said, well, why don't we get John, Rooney and Mike Shannon? I said, well, money talks, and ESPN has the rights through Major League Baseball to do any syndicated. Now, you can still get them on KMOX down
right.
in St. Louis, but their network not allowed to broadcast it because ESPN needs to make the money because they paid for the rights.
Flag down as Foster gets the handoff. Mordock gets the handoff. He's rolled down for another loss, taken down by Drew Carlson at the 5, but a flag down, and this may be a penalty against the Knights on top of it.
I don't think that's what Roland Brown had in mind when he called timeout.
Not on 2nd and 1 from the Galesburg 3. The discussion and the flag. Illegal formation by the Knights. So even after all the confusion, they still couldn't get it right.
Well, and the official pointed at us first, and I thought, what's an illegal defensive formation? But you can do whatever you want.
So move it back 5 yards. In addition to the loss. So it's back at the 10-yard line now.
After the penalty, ball was spotted at the Galesburg 10-yard line.
All right. So it'll be 2nd and 8 for the Knights from the Galesburg 10. Knights, even on their opening penalty, weren't perfect. They had 3 penalties. Were able to recover after each one of them. Now the back judge blows his whistle, and they're going to move it back another 2 yards. Okay. Streaks will take it. Loss of 10. And now Roland Brown comes out and says, now what's that all about?
Now we're going to have another officials conference. Last week's game, we saw a lot of penalties, a lot of them on us in that Moline game, but some personal fouls on the Maroons as well. But in fact, not nearly as many penalties on Moline as Coach Tim Doherty thought there ought to be.
Well, Central leads United Township 7-0 in the first quarter. Oh, in fact, they scored 45 seconds into the game on a 78-yard pass play.
Ah.
Richwood just got moved up 5 yards again. So Roland Brown's objection was upheld.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out why they moved the penalty back initially from the spot of where the play ended. Because if they were in illegal formation, then the play never actually should have happened. So I think they've got this right now. Second and six, handoff goes to the left side. Foster just barrels his way close to the goal line. And they're going to say he's just short. But it'll be first and goal inside the one.
Yeah, Foster made a lot of yards on his own that time. Looked like he might get dragged down at the 4-5, but able to power his way up near the goal line, and probably just a matter of one more snap before Richwoods goes up with their fourth touchdown. As you said, in four possessions, they spent some time going backwards on their first and fourth possessions with some penalties, but doesn't seem to faze them. They just push their way right back into positive yardage.
12th play of the drive with 4 minutes to go in the first half. I formation. McCormack brings this team under center, and the handoff, a quick handoff to Mordock across the right side. He scores easily, and it's 25-0 Knights.
Yeah, Richwoods might be looking at a continuous clock thing here tonight, the way this is going, although they haven't made the most of their extra point opportunities. We'll see if they, looks like they're going to line up and try and kick. They went for two the last time and didn't get the pass play, so they'll
after
try and
the
get
previous
the kick.
One was blocked.
Yeah. I think Diggins blocked that one extra point.
So in for the kick, Daniel Sinclair. A line drive, but way left. It's 25-0 Knights, 3:56 to go in the first half. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Are you a diehard sports fan? Prove it! Head to the Athletic Holy Land. Bree loves sporting goods in downtown Kewaunee. They have uniforms for the team, athletic shoes, spirit wear, letterman's jackets for all area schools, sports equipment, and they do custom lettering screen printing. And of course, they carry all the hottest brands like Wilson, Rawlings, Louisville Slugger, Adidas, Holloway, Pro Celebrity, and more. And when it comes time to pay homage to your local sports stars, call Bree Loves for trophies, medals, signs, plaques, and awards. Bree loves sporting goods in downtown Kewaunee. Everything's sports.
Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
Richwood's Knights have scored on each of their four offensive possessions, but they have not converted on three of their four extra points. Nevertheless, a 25-0 lead over the Silver Streaks with 3:56 to go in the first half. The Silver Streaks' last two possessions have resulted in a punt and a turnover. Prior to that, Galesburg's first offensive possession of the night was a 16-play drive that started at their own 20 and ended at the Richwoods 20. The kickoff goes deep. Cedric Washington up the far sideline, tries to cut back to the middle of the field. He's across the 25 to the 26, close to the 27-yard line. But the Silver Streaks take over with 3:48 to go in the first half. Are they going to spot this ball exactly? It looks like it will be right at the Galesburg 27-yard line. Just about the best field position they have had all night long. Let's see if the Streaks can get something going here. Their first drive, as we mentioned, that first long possession took 7 minutes and 57 seconds off the clock. They don't have that much time here. 3:48 to go in the first half. If they are going to find the end zone and make a winner of Dwayne Ricketts in the Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest. Out of the eye. Anderson on the handoff. Out of the backfield. It goes right, and there's just not much there at all for Cedric Washington.
No, after we showed some real spark in the first possession, amassing three or four first downs and moving down inside the 20-yard line briefly, haven't seen much since that time. A couple of turnovers haven't helped, and the Knights taking advantage, scoring four times in four possessions and only getting one extra point, but clearly a dominant performance by Richwoods, and Silver Streaks look like they'll go to that shotgun formation
sure enough
there again.
And the lone setback is John Mixon standing just to the right of Will Anderson in the gun. Mixon with a lead block, but here comes the rush from the right. He throws it away down the middle of the field, and Trevon Diggins caught it in Richwood's territory and taken down at the 47-yard line, but a flag down in the flat to the near side.
Now that one could go either way where that flag is.
John Mixon was trying to provide some blocking coverage around that general area. Two guys just kind of ran right to his left and right past him, bearing down on Will Anderson. And an ineligible man downfield by the Silver Streaks will negate that terrific catch by Trevon Diggins. And a first down in Richwood's territory is coming back.
Well, when it rains, it pours, and that's what happens so many times. You finally get a little something good to happen, and handkerchief calls it back. So they will not mark it off from the spot of the foul, I don't think. Looks like they're just going to take it from the line of scrimmage, which I guess it wasn't a spot of a foul. It was a man getting downfield, and they'll just mark off five, but it ends up being a loss of about 30 yards when you take into account the pass play we would have had.
Would have been at the Richwood's 47-yard line. Instead, it's all the way back at the Galesburg 27. So you're right, Jim, exactly, a 30-yard loss. And instead of first down at the Richwood's in Richwood's territory, it's second and 14 for the Silver Streaks at their own 23. And Anderson back under center. Handoff goes to Mixon on the outside. He's got the first down on a burst of speed to the outside. He got to the corner and dragged down at the 40-yard line. Nice recovery by the Silver Streaks. One of John's more aggressive runs tonight as he got to the outside and saw some room to run, took advantage of it.
Yeah, probably his best run since the opening 10-yard run of the game, right?
Yep. So Mixon picks up 16 after the penalty. That gets Galesburg a new set of downs at their own 39-yard line. Mixon 13 carries for 58 yards. Under 2:40 to go in the first half. Streaks trailing 25-0. Out of the eye. Handoff up the middle. Again, it's Mixon right up the gut. Stopped just short of the 45-yard line. He'll pick up five more.
Stopped as much by his own man, Derek Brackett, as he was by the Richwood's defense. He ran into a big number 71 there as he was trying to get a little extra yardage. Not that Brackett certainly didn't intend to, but he just turned around and ran into his back. So we'll take the 5 or 6 yards, but I think it could have been 10 or 12 if he doesn't run into Brackett there.
Silver Streaks on second and four from the 45-yard line. Anderson back in the shotgun. Looks to the near side, swings it to the outside to Trevon Diggins, and it's thrown high and behind him. He catches it, but the Richwood's defense bears down for a loss back to the 41-yard line, so they lose four on the play as Anderson's pass was too high and too soft. Mm-hmm. Trevon had to wait for it. He caught it, but they lose four.
Yeah, and if you're Trevon in that situation, that's a bad feeling because, you know, you need to catch the ball, but you're not going anywhere because you got no blockers out there. You're just naked. You're the only Silver Streak in the neighborhood, and all these linebackers and D-backs are converging on you.
And the way he got turned around to catch it, he couldn't have seen them coming. He could certainly sense that they were coming probably, but he couldn't see them coming.
Yeah, you could smell them at that point, I think.
And another loss for the Silver Streaks back to the 40-yard line. Another loss of one, and it brings up fourth down and nine from the Galesburg 40 now.
Clock still moving at 1 minute left in this what's been kind of a long second quarter with penalties and stoppages of play. And the Streaks, I assume, will kick it away. Will Anderson's bouncing in off the sidelines. Looks like maybe they will try and go for it here.
Down by four touchdowns. With 45 seconds to go, we've seen Richwood's run off two scoring drives of just one play, so no matter where you are on the field, they're capable of getting it downfield. And now the Silver Streaks call timeout with 40 seconds to go in the first half.
Yeah, I think probably ought to rethink this. If we don't make that, they've got enough of a passing game. All they've got to do is find their big wide receiver one time, Glasper, and they'll put six more up on us. I'd just as soon kick this thing away and make them cover some more yardage.
Or Murdock.
Or Murdock.
He's done even worse damage tonight against the Silver Streaks.
So, if it was fourth and one, I'd probably go for it. But fourth and nine on your own 40-yard line, not with a quick-strike team like Richwood's, I'd just soon kick this away.
Rich is getting the best of the Quad City schools right now. Rich Central leading United Township on two pass plays of 78 yards and 19 yards. About 5 minutes left in the first quarter. 14-0 there, and Rich South leading Moline on a 66-yard pass play in the first quarter.
Well, that's what you run into when you play the Chicago schools. Their passing game is much more advanced than most anything you'll see in our part of the state.
In fact, Rich Central beat the UT sophomores 44-19. Holloman scheduled for a 7:45 start against Kankakee, so they may just be getting underway. A very short kick by Tyler Brackett. The rush was on, and nobody downfield for the catch. So the Silver Streaks down it at the Knights 30-yard line with 31 seconds to go.
So I would guess we'll probably see Richwoods go ahead and run one play and call it. I don't think being up 25-0 and this deep in their own territory, they're probably going to try anything too extravagant here.
Wouldn't think so. But, again, they've had two scoring drives tonight that have gone just one play both times. And they've put together two long, sustained scoring drives as well. Mordock lines up, has a wide out to the near side. One man in the backfield and a flag down as McCormack drops back deep for the long pass, but a flag will negate this, and they'll move it back 5 yards on a false start.
Jonathan Mixon probably wishing they hadn't blown that dead. He had a dead line on quarterback Wes McCormack. He was coming in from the backside. Looked like he might get a sack there, but the whistles slowed Mixon's momentum down and cost Richwoods 5 yards. They might have lost more than that if the play continued with Mixon getting a sack.
So back to their own 25-yard line, first and 15 now. As the clock stops with 28.7 seconds to go. So play whistled dead. Still about 3 seconds off the clock. Now out of the I formation, same formation as Mordock comes out of the backfield, lines up left, and they toss it into the backfield to Foster instead. Running laterally, trying to get to the outside, and taken down. Almost looked like he got kicked as Nathan Eck went down on his backside and his feet came up. Looked like he kicked Foster unintentionally for a gain of 5. But they kept him in bounds, so the clock rolls down to 10 seconds to go, and Richwoods is standing right there at the line of scrimmage, ready to go with 6 seconds to go, but the official's not moving out of there yet. And now we've got whistles, and they will go ahead and let the clock roll out. That's the end of the first half, 25-0. Richwoods leads the Galesburg Silver on senior night here at Richwoods High School. Again, coming up at halftime, we're going to talk some high school basketball Hall of Fame information, and we'll hear with that coming up at halftime. Also some scoring updates, news updates from the WGIL newsroom, and then second half of Silver Streaks football still to come, the final game of the 2011 season here on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Life is busy and quality times come in fleeting moments, only to be interrupted by basketball games, errands, and deadlines. Craddy Insurance, your Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg, has a genuine desire to find the right insurance coverages for your family. I'm Mike Craddy. I'll take the time to find affordable auto, home, and business insurance plans for you from Rockford Mutual Insurance. For a quote, call me or stop by our office on Henderson Street in Galesburg today.
Play-by-play coverage of GHS football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Buffalo Wild Wings. Stop in after the varsity football game for 45-cent traditional wings every Friday. By Go Outside and Play, running and walking at your pace on Seminary Street in Galesburg. And by Bob's Automotive Service at the corner of East Main and Chamber in Galesburg.
It's Michelle and Patsy from Bates Collision Center.
We're all about teamwork here at Bates. Everyone here plays an important role in the repair of your vehicle after an accident.
From the moment you walk in our door, you can trust that the team at Bates Collision Center is working for you.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
The official WGIL forecast. Clear skies tonight, overnight low 39. Sunny tomorrow with a high of 65. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, overnight low of 46. Sunny on Sunday, and a bit warmer with a high of 72. Low of 46 again Sunday night. Monday, sunny and a high of 68. The outlook for Monday night and Tuesday, chances for showers. Look for partly sunny skies otherwise on Tuesday with a high of 70. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it's 49 at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the OSF St. Mary Medical Center Halftime Report. Brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg. This is healthcare.
WGIL, it's our pleasure now to talk about prospective basketball coaches Hall of Fame Museum in Illinois as Bruce Vershaw joins us now to discuss that. Bruce, welcome to our studios. Welcome to Galesburg. I know that you made a special presentation to one of our local groups here recently, and tell us a little bit about that.
Well, thank you, Jim, for having me on the air here. Yes, I came today to speak to the Galesburg Rotary Club about the Illinois Basketball Hall of Fame Museum that will open up in 2013 in Danville. And I was in Galesburg about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and I met with Coach Reynolds and Coach Massey. And it was an opportunity to exchange some thoughts with them. And I knew I was coming here on October 13th to speak. So it's a privilege to be in one of the true basketball capitals of Illinois.
Yeah, and meet with a couple of guys that have had a fair amount of success coaching basketball. So
absolutely. Coach Massey has won 18 consecutive regionals. He's taken five teams to the Final Four. That's almost unmatched boys or girls basketball.
You're here to talk about what we're working towards, the Illinois Basketball Hall of Fame Museum. Obviously a tradition-rich state, I think that goes without saying, and probably a lot of people with a lot of ideas, I would guess, that trying you want contributions, but it's probably hard to pull everything together, I would guess.
Well, yes, it's definitely a rich state. In fact, we're third in producing NBA, ABA players over the years. Of all the players that have played in the professional level, 237 of them have come from Illinois, and that's not including the girls' side of it, the women's side. And how many coaching legends do we have in the state, and how many coaching legends have been in Galesburg? Talking about ideas, absolutely. In fact, one of the ideas that we're going to do December 30th, we'll have a backup date in case of bad weather on January 6th, but we're going to ask basketball historians throughout Illinois to come together at Illinois State University so we can listen to them and share with them what we want to accomplish in Danville in the years to come. And we know that they can help us with the history of their communities, whether it be oral histories or visual presentations, presentations of things that we can make the fans know about throughout not only Illinois but throughout the United States about the rich traditions that we have.
Might be a little surprising to some that we don't already have a high school basketball Hall of Fame with, as you mentioned, the tradition. Is there any other state that we're looking at to pattern after, or are we kind of the torchbearers on this?
No, Indiana would be the one that's been the role model. In 2009, about 2 years ago at this time, I went over and spent about 5 hours with their people and got to visit the museum and ask questions that would be pertinent to helping us. And they would be the role model. It is long overdue in Illinois. How we've gotten to this point without being able to tell the stories of over 100 years of basketball, that's got to be addressed and corrected, and it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Anytime you embark on a project like this, it takes a lot of cooperation and hence a lot of finances. Where are you at on that right now?
Okay. The financial part, I'm not into that. Danville is. I was on the radio back in the spring with the Springfield station, and I was on hold. And the lead story before we came in was the budget crisis in Illinois. And the first question was, how are we going to pay for this? And I said, well, one thing we're not going to do is go to Springfield and ask for money because there is no money. And it would be unethical. It would be immoral to ask for tax dollar money when we're cutting $200 million from the education fund. As important as this is to us, we also know there's priorities. So that means Danville's going to have to be creative. They are doing some grant writing. They also are asking for corporations and businesses to step up. We've hired a gentleman that specializes in that. And we're also, you know, getting individual contributors. One thing we'll probably have to do is go to some of those NBA and ABA players and former ABA players and ask if maybe they can help us a little bit. It's going to cost about $1.25 million to do the renovations and bring the technology that we need to have. So we're starting to make progress. We have a board meeting in Danville October 21st. I think we have some good news things that are coming our way. And I think the arrow's pointing up for us that we can get this done by 2013.
You know, you mentioned contributions from those NBA players, and even if it's not necessarily writing a check, I know there's a lot of memorabilia donations you're looking for, and with the stuff that they've been through and the memories they have, I'm sure that might be something they might have in the closet to help out with.
Well, Jim, this is where I come in. I get a chance to go throughout the state. Kenny Crawford's doing this. He was the coach at Teutopolis, retired now, great coach. He's speaking in southeastern Illinois. In fact, he's speaking in Lawrenceville October 20th. I'm in Paxton October 20th. He's speaking in Paris November 7th. We're getting the opportunity to speak to people face-to-face about what we're trying to do. We've done newspaper interviews, you know, radio interviews, but we also get to talk about memorabilia that we're trying to collect, things that we're looking for. This museum will be in Danville, but it doesn't belong to Danville. It belongs to the people of Illinois. this is their museum, and they're the ones that are going to contribute. The media has told the story about Illinois basketball going back through the newspapers back in the early 1900s. When radio came in the 1920s, the games could be brought to your homes. Then television comes in 1952 when Hebron plays Quincy. That's the first state championship game broadcast. We have two gentlemen that are contributing videotapes, films, DVDs of games going back all the way to 1970. When I was in Galesburg here a month or so ago, I was given the 1957, March 15th, Galesburg Stall game against Rock Island when Don Nelson was a junior. And they beat him 23-21. I looked at the quality of that. It's narrated. It's already at Danville. So that's going to be played. That's special. And if you ask Don Nelson about that game, he'll still tell you that one stings the most out of all his losses. Galesburg didn't have a player taller than 6'1". Don Nelson at 6'6 is the third tallest player on that team, and they lose 23-21. Coach Steele was a master. I'm not telling anybody anything new in Galesburg. They already know that. We got to make sure the rest of the people know that, and that's the neat part here. When you come to visit the museum, when it opens its doors, we want the people to be overwhelmed with nostalgia. We want the media to tell the story as they have. We want you to smell the popcorn when you come in and hear the basketball shoes squeaking.
That's neat, because there are so many of us that remember from the time we were old enough to watch TV or listen to the radio, but especially the TV generation to see all the finals and maybe go back. We remember four or five of the superstars, you know, your Jay Scheidlers and Michael Payne and some of those, but there's probably other ones that you go in a museum like that and you go, oh, yeah, now I remember that. It'll bring a lot of things back to life, I'm sure.
You know, the other neat thing about this, Jim, is that when people go to visit the museum, they're going to say, I've got something that they might like to have. It's in my attic. It's in my scrapbook. Or I know somebody that knows somebody that has something. One of the things that we're trying to do is to make sure that we don't forget about the schools that don't exist anymore. IllinoisHighSchoolGloryDays.com. IllinoisHighSchoolGloryDays.com has a website out. It is incredible. It's had over 194,000 hits. It lists all the schools alphabetically that don't exist anymore. It also plays their school song. It's got the words to it. It's got the records, the coaches, the pitchers. But we've got to make sure that their stories are never forgotten about. The NCAA says every year, one shining moment. And we've got to emphasize that part of it, because those communities, their basketball team, helped put their town on the map. That was their shining moment. So we got, you know, we have the Galesburgs and the Pekins and Rock Island and so forth, but we also can't forget those small communities. So we're doing a roll call of letter jackets, A through Z, of the schools that exist today and of the schools that don't exist. So to our listeners out there, if you have the opportunity to want to contribute something to the Illinois Basketball Hall of Fame Museum, we can make sure that you can do that. And I'm going to give, if you don't mind, Jim.
That's fine.
You can go to www.ilhoopshall.com, or you can call 217-442-DUNK. I like DUNK, 3865. That's 3865. I'll repeat one more time. www.ilhoopshall.com. Or you can call 217-442-DUNK. I just picked up Tuesday when I was in Champaign a letter jacket that goes back to 1942, Urbana High School. It has a patch on it that says state finalists and conference, Big 12 conference champions on it. So those are neat things that we're getting. But if you have pictures, you've got scrapbooks, you've got old uniforms, scoreboards, we'll even take an old popcorn machine. Those things, contact us, and we'd love to add it to our museum.
This sounds like a fascinating venture, I think, for all of us that are and have been for a while high school basketball fans in the state. We can't wait to see that thing get opened up and open up some of our rich memories to come back to us. So good luck in your venture here. It sounds like you're in good hands, and the community of Danville is really getting behind this, and so hopefully the rest in the state will jump in as well on the bandwagon.
Well, thank you again for allowing me to share this with your listeners, and I hope that we'll get a lot of memorabilia from from Galesburg because it's one of the best basketball communities in Illinois.
That's Bruce Vershaw joining us here on WGIL talking about the Illinois Basketball Hall of Fame Museum coming soon to Danville. I'm Jim Lee for Galesburg Radio 14.
Jeremy Carlin continues to be on the cases of accused spree killer Nicholas Shealy. The Sterling Daily Gazette reports a judge today granted Shealy's request to have Carlin represent him in the death of 93-year-old Russell Reed of Sterling. Shealy said he doesn't want Carlin's help when he's tried on the other four murders he's accused of committing in Whiteside County. Shealy was convicted last month of the death of 65-year-old Ronald Randall of Galesburg. The judge also delayed the November 1st start date of the trial for Reed's death. William Cellini won't testify at his corruption trial in Chicago. His attorney made that announcement today after the defense began presenting its case. Dan Webb says closing arguments in the trial will be held on Tuesday. Cellini denies conspiring to shake down a movie producer so the producer would give then-Governor Rob Blagojevich campaign money. I'm Kyle Schassberger, Top Stories at Home, Top Stories from around the world. This is Galesburg Radio 14. WGIL.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pam Husso. Not everyone's cheering President Obama's decision to end the Iraq war by the end of the year.
I respect what the president's trying to do. We would all like to see an end to our engagement there or a narrowing of it. But let's do it in a way that's smart and doesn't threaten our security.
Senate Republican Marco Rubio. Critics argue the move might embolden neighboring Iran. The administration disagrees.
Let's be clear about the status of the situation that Iran faces. It's more isolated, weaker.
Deputy National Security Advisor Dennis McDonough, out of the 40,000 remaining troops, about 200 will stay to protect the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. Testimony wrapping up for the week in the manslaughter trial of Michael Jackson's doctor. An expert on the surgical anesthetic that killed the pop star believes Dr. Conrad Murray is entirely responsible for Jackson's death. The defense arguing that assessment is based on lots of assumptions. Fox News, we report, you decide.
This is Mary from Brighter Life Bookshop, and tomorrow from 9:30 to 4, we are celebrating our 19th anniversary. Come in and enjoy lunch from 11:30 to 1, or just walk around and experience the store with 25% off most items and register to win fabulous door prizes. Vera Bradley East-West Totes will be on sale for $39, regularly $52. Come experience Brighter Life Bookshop during our 19th anniversary sale tomorrow at 292 East Simmons in downtown Galesburg.
WGIL, proud to be a part of Galesburg.
Hi, this is Lori Plunk for WGIL. First Christian Church in Galesburg offers a trunk or treat event for kids who love candy on Monday, October 31st from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. First Christian Church is located on North Embarrad in Galesburg. Get more details at WGIL.com.
This community announcement is brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL. Involved and invested in Galesburg.
The Illinois Fighting Illini football team will try to bounce back from last week's loss to Ohio State as they battle the Purdue Boilermakers on the road tomorrow. We'll have the broadcast at 11 o'clock here on WGIL.
At Richwoods High School, Silver Streaks trail Peoria Richwoods 25-0. It is senior night for the Knights, and the high school band just recognized during halftime for some senior night ceremonies of their own. Let's tell you how we got to this point in the game as Jim Lee is heading down to the field for our halftime interview. The Knights had the ball to open the game after the Silver Streaks kickoff was returned to the 39-yard line. The Knights put together a 10-play scoring drive that covered 61 yards in 4 minutes and 39 seconds. Kendrick Foster had the first touchdown of the game from 4 yards out, and the extra point made it 7-0. Silver Streaks then took over with 7:12 to go in the first quarter, and actually put together a lengthy scoring drive of 16 plays. The Silver Streaks moved it from their own 20 down to the Knights' 20-yard line, but the drive stalled out, and the Silver Streaks gave it up on downs. And the Knights, on the very next play, an 80-yard pass play. I'm sorry, an 80-yard running play as Mordock got to the outside and took it right up the near sideline, right down the field. And after that long drive by the Silver Streaks, it was just one play for the Knights. They missed the extra point as the Silver Streaks blocked the kick, and it was 13-0. Silver Streaks went two plays and then fumbled the ball away, so the Knights took over anew from their own from the Galesburg 31-yard line, and this time it was a pass play as the quarterback, Wes McCormack, went right through the air and tossed it right downfield to Ryan Mordock for 31 yards. So back-to-back scoring drives of just one play each, and the Knights went for two after missing the extra point prior to that. They went for two and did not make it. The pass failed. They were up 19-0. Silver Streaks had to punt it away. The Knights then put together a 12-play scoring drive. They covered 58 yards, took 4 minutes and 17 seconds off the clock. Mordock finished it off with a one-yard run, and the extra point, again, no good. It's 25-0 Knights here at the half. Let's head down to the field. Jim Lee with a quick word with Tim Doherty.
Well, Coach, obviously that first drive was thing of beauty until it stalled out about the 20-yard line, but we really haven't been able to put anything together since then. Did they make some adjustments, or how's the game flowed?
Well, you know, we did. It was our first drive was probably our best drive of the season. And, you know, we're playing a very good football team. Richwoods is, you know, I think I know a good football team when I've seen it. And they're excellent. But our kids, you know, I mean, we got to execute in key downs. Again, we got them third and long and gave up a couple passes. But our kids are hanging in there.
Okay. And Foster hasn't hurt us that much, but they've got some other weapons, obviously. They showed us.
If you're at the game, you see they got a lot of weapons. They're tough to defend, and we had to stop Foster's player of the year in the Peoria area, and you know, it's unfortunate for us. They got a lot of other weapons. So,
okay. Thanks, Coach.
Okay, you bet.
Our thanks, as always, to Tim Doherty for giving us a few moments at the half. Silver Streaks trailing by 4 touchdowns, 25-0, as the third quarter is coming up. Our thanks again to Galesburg Nissan for providing our transportation to Peoria tonight. Jim and I traveling in a 2010 Nissan Maxima four-door and one of 15 certified pre-owned on the lot at Galesburg Nissan. And along with the certified pre-owned benefits, an 84-month, 100,000-mile limited warranty covers just all kinds of things, including the axle, front-wheel drive. I can go on and on there, but 24-hour emergency roadside customer assistance. There's a towing benefit of up to $100 per claim, car rental reimbursement, trip interruption coverage, and that's only about half of what you get, if that, under the certified pre-owned agreement through Galesburg Nissan. 15 certified pre-owns in stock, all offering 2.5% financing for 60 months, and be sure to check out the 2010 Nissan Maxima. It's a little over 10,000 miles on it when we get it back on the lot tonight after we return home from Peoria. It should be tomorrow to go out and test drive some cars, so check them out at Galesburg Nissan, just off the square in downtown Galesburg on North Broad Street. The kickoff by Sinclair, taken at the 4 by Cedric Washington to the 20. Across upfield and dragged down from behind. He returns it all the way to the 30, fumbles it forward, and the Silver Streaks take it over at the 35-yard line. It looked like the ball popped loose right at the very end, but Cedric was able to advance it forward on the fumble right into the hands of his teammate, O'Brien Allen, who recovers for a pickup of another 5 after that.
Didn't appreciate the press box as much till I got down there. It's cold outside, but up here it's not too bad.
No, we've really been very comfortable all night long.
Well, I found out the hard way that the middle gate down here, and I should have known this some years past, the band is all coming up through there. You can't get through. So the next best option, you have to go out behind the stadium and around the end to get onto the field. So
I saw you come from the far corner down there. I wondered how you got all the way down there.
Pretty good workout.
Speaking of a good workout, Trevon Diggins with a nice run on first down from the Galesburg 35, advances it across midfield to the Richwoods 48 for a gain of 17. Trevon's biggest run of the night. And the Silver Streaks come out with a burst of energy here to open up the second half, and they're going to have to do that and a heck of a lot more to get back into this game, down 25-0.
Well, and I would, not that Richwoods, they don't dress a lot of players, but I would think what's on the sideline in the fourth quarter, if the score doesn't get any closer, we'll see a big dose of them because they obviously will have a playoff game to try and stay healthy for next week.
Hand off up the middle to John Mixon across right tackle. Takes it all the way down to the Richwoods 41-yard line. And just like that, it'll be second and one after a gain of 9 more.
Yeah, Coach Brown telling me, I don't think we had this on the pregame. He was saying he thought they probably would go 6A this year instead of 5A come playoff time, which could be good or bad depending on your matchups. He said they probably would end up over the Bloomington area, maybe a normal community type team, and they're always tough.
Hand off to the left. That'll be just enough for a first down across the Richwoods 40. Just across the Richwoods 40, which is where the first down marker is. Another hard run by John Mixon of two more. And the Silver Streaks move the chains down to the Knights 39-yard line. Just underway in the third quarter, 11:06 to go. Dana Penn of Galesburg, the name drawn in our Hungry Hobo touchdown contest, as Dana hopes the Silver Streaks can find the end zone. Would be the first time tonight. She would be the first winner of the evening of a $10 gift certificate from Hungry Hobo in Galesburg if the Streaks can score a touchdown here in this third quarter. First down from the Knights 39. A toss into the backfield. Trevon tucks it in. Tries to bounce to the outside. Jukes left, jukes right. All the way into first down territory inside the 30. Down to the Knights 29-yard line. Nice little dancing move by Trevon Diggins. A little left, a little right. Kept finding his way through some small holes. And the Silver Streaks have a new set of downs again. Just like that, a pickup of 12.
It was interesting, Coach Doherty saying that Streaks' first drive tonight, he thought it was the best one they'd had all season.
They just didn't score. That was the major flaw of it. A couple of long runs to begin the second half for Trevon Diggins, 16 and 10. Now the handoff goes to the left side. Mixon trying to get to the outside, trying to stiff arm a man off him at the 25-yard line, knocked out of bounds at the 24. So another good little run by John Mixon. A hard run, a hard-earned 6 yards, and the Silver Streaks move it inside the Knights' 25-yard line.
Mikhail Davis and Michael McElrath together there on the tackle for Richwood as they strung that play out and kept forcing Mixon to run east-west instead of north-south. He was trying to turn that corner but just couldn't get it done. And as you said, though, Brad, still able to pick up a decent chunk of yards.
Clock stops at 10:18 to go third quarter. The Knights scored on each of their first four possessions in the first half. Silver Streaks trying to do the same on their opening possession of the second half. A little dive play up the middle across the near hash mark for John Mixon. The knee comes down, looks like at the 23-yard line. And it'll be third and three upcoming for the Silver Streaks. Galesburg only 2 of 5 on third down in the first half. Make it a third and four here.
As you mentioned, at halftime, Western Big Six schools not faring so well against the teams from Chicago. Moline and East Moline were both down, although Alleman was winning their game, and I think Quincy was up 7-6, right?
Second quarter, yep, over Jerseyville. Second and four. Anderson tucks it in, tries to get to the outside, wrapped up at the 20-yard line, and he falls forward. This will be close to the first down. The sideline official standing right on the 19-yard line. If that's where it is, it's a first down, and the referee says move the chains. They don't even measure. Nice little tuck and run by Will Anderson, and the Streak get a new set of downs.
So just like the start of the first half when we put 4 or 5 first downs together and moved it down the field, I think at least 3 of them here now as we wind the clock at 9.5 to go third quarter. The Streaks have to score here to have any chance to get back in this one, down 25 at the half.
5 carries for 23 yards for Will Anderson tonight. He's been sacked once. Out of the offset eye with Mixon dotting the eye at the top. He gets the toss. Little block up the middle, tries to get to the outside. That's Diggins actually inside the 15 to the 14-yard line. He'll gain 5 more. The Streaks continue to march it downfield. This will be the 9th play of the drive coming up. They had that 16-play scoring drive on their first offensive possession of the game.
Well, it's clear the game plan at halftime was to try and get Trevon Diggins more involved in the offense. The opportunities that he had in the first half outside of that pass reception that got called back, his running opportunities were nothing. There was just no room to run. But right now he's seeing a little room on each side, and hopefully that'll continue.
Diggins had 2 carries for just 1 yard in the first half. He has 3 carries for 30 yards here in the second half. This handoff goes nowhere, moved to the right, and Mixon might have gotten back to the 15-yard line.
He got hit about as soon as he got the ball. He had no chance there.
They are going to sit the ball right on the 15-yard line, so he loses a yard. And the Streaks face third and six coming up now. Ball spotted at the Knights 15. 8:15 to go in the third quarter. Silver Streaks down 25 to nothing. No preliminary game tonight. The varsity kicked off at 7:05, and the temperature continues to drop. You're right, Jim. It was really pretty warm up here in the press box until halftime. The Galesburg assistant coaches are in the booth to our right with the door closed. The door to the press box was closed, and once we had people starting to move in and out, some of those doors opened up, and that let a little more of that cold air in. And, of course, you are out in the cold air, so you know just how cold some of the fans are feeling right now.
Kids down there in the band were shivering a little bit as I walked up through them.
Third and six, handoff left. Mixon trying to get to the outside. He's got the first down. He's still on his feet, and he's got a touchdown. Mixon with a good touchdown of the night for the Silver Streaks. Mixon with 91 yards rushing on the evening now, and it makes a winner of Dana Penn of Galesburg in the Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest. Galesburg now down 25-6.
Galesburg showing some good fight coming out in halftime and putting up a score early in this one, and that was not against the second string defense. We did it against their first team defense, which makes it a little more satisfying. And so we'll go for two here, down 25-6.
Would make it a 17-point game. Three. Here's Anderson tucking it in. He's got the two-point conversion. He ran it across the outside of the left part of the line. A two-point conversion for the Streaks, who now trail 25-8. 7:41 to go, third quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center.
The excitement of high school sports really takes me back.
Our team at Bates is proud to support the Silver Streaks for another winning season.
Hey, I think that guy just hit another home run.
Isn't it time for your nap?
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
The Nissan Altima, Consumer Reports number one rated sedan. Now with $1,000 cash plus 0% financing for 60 months. And it gets up to 38 miles per gallon. Stop by for a test drive. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown.
Galesburg High School Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at dickersonphotography.com. And by Office Specialists Incorporated, where your office is their business.
News, talk, sports on WGIL.
Richwood's a hard time fielding the kickoff at the 15-yard line. Now Mordock picks it up. Weaves his way right, cuts upfield to the 35-yard line before he's finally stopped at the Richwood's 36, maybe the 37. Let's see if the Silver Streaks defense can get a stop. The only time that they were able to prevent the Knights from getting into the end zone was when Richwood's had the ball for one play in the final 30 seconds of the first half. So they take over here after the Streaks get a 10-play scoring drive that covers 65 yards. Took 4 minutes 19 seconds off the clock to begin the third quarter. A Mixon 15-yard run, an Anderson 2-yard conversion, and the Streaks are down, and now here's Foster straight up the middle into the secondary before he's finally stopped in Streaks territory at the 46. Sure, the coaching staff's hearts jumped on that one. Looked like he was stopped at around the line of scrimmage, but he popped out of there and looked like he might run for a while, but the Streaks were able to converge on him. Again, not before he gets into Galesburg territory at the 46.
Michael Varner with the tackle that time, and we may get a bigger dose of Kendrick Foster in the second half. Didn't seem too much in the first half.
Onto the eye, handoff up the middle. There he is again. He sidesteps a man in the midfield and taken down by Eck and Drew Carlson down to the 21-yard line. So two big plays, and just like that, the Richwoods Knights are heading into the red zone very quickly.
Like both teams made some strategic adjustments at halftime. The Silver Streaks trying to feature Trevon Diggins a little more, which they did in their touchdown drive. And now Richwood's coming with their main man, Kendrick Foster, who was held pretty quiet in the first half but has got two big runs already here.
Over 100 yards rushing. Now a fumble all the way back to the 30-yard line as McCormack has to scramble back for it. And he falls on, and that goes as a loss of 9. Break for the Silver Streaks.
Well, normally I'd say that could be a drive stopper, but we've seen Richwood's go backwards on penalties a few times tonight, only to gobble up the yardage again and still make it pay. I don't think their punter's ever had to set foot on the field, has he?
Nope, he sure hasn't. So second and 19 now from the 30. Handoff left. Foster again cuts back to the middle of the field. Now works his way left. He'll go all the way. And the touchdown.
Now that didn't take long. Just after we thought maybe we got back into it, Kendrick Foster and company say, nah, not so much.
Sure made it look easy, didn't they? Foster with runs of 18, 24, and 30 to finish off a four-play scoring drive that covered 63 yards and took only a minute and 23 seconds. And they are well on their way to their sixth straight victory heading into the playoffs next week. They'll find out tomorrow who their opening round opponent is and where they will go. The kick is good. It's 32-8 Richwood, 6:18 to go in the third quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Save money on your energy bill this winter with energy-saving products from Menards. Save big on insulation, caulk, weather stripping, and much more, including a great selection of window insulation kits from top brands, including 3M. They help to keep warm air in, cold air out, and your energy bill down. Choose from an indoor or outdoor patio door insulator kit by 3M. On sale now at Menards for just $9.98 each.
Save big money at Menards.
A more in-depth look at the day's local news and happenings. The WGIL Evening News. Weeknights at 5 on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Well, two offensive possessions for both teams here in the second half, and two touchdowns. Silver Streaks on the opening possession of the second half cut the Richwoods lead down to 17. The Knights come right back. Now here's Washington fielding the kickoff at the 3, trying to get to the outside, and he can't even get back to the 20-yard line as he's dragged down from behind by Jareth Long. And the Silver Streaks take over, short of the 20 at the 19-yard line.
Well, I was talking with Jeff Plink as I picked up our beautiful Nissan Maxima to drive here to the game, and I said, well, give you a few weeks off of having to set us up with vehicles, but got to thinking, it won't be too awful long. Girls basketball will start in about 3 weeks.
Yep, about mid-November.
Uh-huh, and then the boys a week after that.
Night before Thanksgiving. They'll open up in the Thanksgiving, their own Thanksgiving tournament, which is nice to have back at John Field Gymnasium. Here's Diggins to the outside. He's got a first down up to the 30-yard line. Created a little hole for him once he got to the outside, and a quick 11 on the ground for Trevon Diggins. And he's up to 42 yards rushing, 41 of them in the second half on four carries.
Well, and we're going to play a couple of teams in that Thanksgiving tournament. I think I've been in this business long enough that I've heard of everybody, but I've never heard of Diet before. D-Y-E-T-T. And there's another one. And so you hang around long enough, you'll learn all the schools, and we'll meet a couple of new ones.
Rich Central leads United Township 21-0. Moline not faring any better. Diggins to the near side. This time gets to the outside, and another first down as he's brought down from the top and behind. Out of bounds at the Galesburg 46-yard line, so another pickup of 16.
Richwood's defense not used to getting moved back the way they have here in the second half. Streaks with a touchdown-producing drive and threatening to do it again with the ball already almost to midfield here.
So Jamoline wasn't faring any better. They're down 18-0 at half. They are playing Rich South. Alleman leads Kankakee 14-0. And Quincy over Jerseyville at the half, 21-6.
To show you some of the disparity between some of those suburban schools and the Western Big Six, Moline, our conference champion, taking on a Rich South team that I think is 3-5 going into that one tonight.
Mixon with the carry up to the 50. He picks up four more. So Mixon with 96 yards rushing tonight now on 21 carries. Trevon Diggins with 58 yards. Cedric Washington, just a few carries for him, but he's picked up 24. And Will Anderson with 23 on the ground. Decent numbers for the Silver Streaks. Out of the eye, second and six at the 50. 4:40 to go third quarter. Anderson looks to toss. Now he's going to tuck it in, and that's going nowhere. He's taken down for a loss of a yard back to the 49.
Yeah, he went back there and looked kind of lost. I don't know if it's his fault, or I think it was more somebody wasn't where they were supposed to be, because he really didn't know just what to do with that ball and finally turned it upfield but took a loss.
Fighting Illini football tomorrow. What a disappointment that was last week at home against Ohio State.
We sat a mile up in the east balcony and watched that lack of offense. But, you know, I wasn't surprised that it was that Ohio State could win the game. I just thought Illinois would have a little more offensive firepower than what they showed.
Whistles from the far sideline right in front of the Galesburg coaching staff, and the Streaks have called timeout. 3:57 to go, third quarter, 32-8, Richwood's on top. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
The Nissan Altima, Consumer Reports' number one rated sedan, now with $1,000 cash plus 0% financing for 60 months, and it gets up to 38 miles per gallon. Stop by for a test drive. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center.
After an accident, you may not know where to turn.
Turn to Bates. We'll navigate you through all the insurance paperwork, set you up with a rental car,
and make your car look like new with a factory-perfect repair. Guaranteed.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Just under 4 minutes to play, third quarter here at Richwoods High School. The Knights lead the Silver Streaks 32-8. Galesburg with the ball spotted at their own 39-yard line, a third and seven coming up. Silver Streaks 3-for-6 on third downs tonight. They need a good one here. They get up to the 50, moved back a yard on the last play, and then call timeout to set up this play to try to get a first down. Innes wide to the right. Trevon Diggins. Wide out to the left, the near side, the short side of the field in front of the Richwood sideline. Handoff goes to the right. Anderson on the keeper, trying to get to the outside. Fights his way forward into Knights territory, down to the 47-yard line with an extra dive at the end to pick up a few more. He was looking to be down, wrapped up a couple of times on the backside, but he managed to get away from the shoulder tackle, the jersey tackle, and it brings up fourth and three.
You did call that very well. He did fight as well the way. He's done that several times tonight and made something out of what a lot of guys might not have gotten any yardage from there, and gives the Streaks a fighting chance. Instead of fourth and seven or eight, it's fourth and three. Leaves our play calling options pretty wide open at this point.
Galesburg 1-for-2 on fourth downs tonight. Handoff left, not a whole lot there, but look at Mixon go, and he's got the first down. He barrels down, gets the shoulders low, and he moved at least two, if not three, Knights defenders down to the 41-yard line.
Yeah, he got hit right at the line of scrimmage. It looked like he was just going to get swallowed up, and somehow he was able to squirt off to the left and had guys hanging on to him, but... We've seen both sides have some impressive runs here tonight with effort and strength from their running backs, and Mixon was outstanding there.
That had to be one of the strongest runs we've seen by a Silver Streaks running back this season. So a new set of downs after the fourth down conversion. A toss to Diggins, trying to find a hole, and there's not one there. He's taken down back at the line of scrimmage for no gain.
Jonathan Mixon played a couple of years with Robert Jackson, who graduated last year, and probably watched Robert work so hard, an undersized fullback who was able to plow in there and get some yardage similar to what Mixon did, and I think Jonathan gave us a Robert Jackson-type performance there.
That six-yard run pushed Mixon over 100 yards rushing tonight, 22 carries for 102 yards. I'll give Trevon a gain of a yard, I guess, on that one. It's second and nine for the Silver Streaks. Handoff right, a hole for Mixon across right tackle. Down close to another first down inside the Knights 35 to the 31-yard line, right at the first down marker. The nose of the football sitting just short of the 30. They shouldn't even have to measure it. They don't. Move the chains. Good run again by Mixon.
Kind of a surprising third quarter. I didn't expect to see it. Be such an offensive third quarter. Streaks with two.
Offensive or offensive?
I guess, yeah. Maybe we better hit the syllable the right way. Well, if you're the Richwoods defense, it might be offensive because they've been giving up a lot of yards to the Streaks here.
On a new set of downs from the Knights' 30-yard line. Handoff left and a loss immediately. A hit is John Mixon. As soon as Will Anderson handed that off to him, in fact, he was hit so quickly, the Streaks are lucky that Anderson got the handoff as cleanly as he did. Flies over.
Well, the tacklers there, number 50, Derek Thomas for Richwoods, 6'2", 255.
Great football historic name there, Derek Thomas, and he wears the same number as the great Chiefs linebacker.
You wonder if when he was christened with that name, Derek, if parents had that in mind.
Jake Innes in motion to the near side on second and 12 for the Streaks. A toss to Diggins, and he's crushed.
Man.
Sandwiched.
Oh.
Back for a loss of five.
That hurt up here.
It was Mikhail Davis who really finished him off. Diggins pops right back up. Now he's kind of reaching back, feeling his lower back.
I bet he is. He got it from both ways and got a facial, all three that time.
He was the white frosting in the middle of an Oreo sandwich there. I mean, he just got pounded.
He's holding his back. He's holding his finger. Going to stay out there, but he got roughed up pretty good on that play.
And on a cold night, I'm sure that just made it feel even that much more of a sting. So it's going to be third and 16 with 12 seconds to go in the third quarter. Back at the Richwood's 36-yard line. Handoff right. Mixon gets down low and then popped high and driven back to the 35-yard line. And that's the final play of the third quarter. Silver Streaks with a fourth down coming up, trailing Richwood's 32-8. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football, the final quarter of the season, coming up on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Play-by-play coverage of GHS football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Buffalo Wild Wings. Stop in after the varsity football game for 45-cent traditional wings every Friday. By Go Outside and Play, running and walking at your pace on Seminary Street in Galesburg. And by Bob's Automotive Service at the corner of East Main and Chambers in Galesburg.
It happens.
And it can be anything unexpected.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. When it happens, it's our hope at Bates that we can make it as easy on you as possible.
Remember, Bates is here to make it better.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Sports stories, sports scores, and more. Fox Sports Radio. Weekends on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Three quarters gone at Richwoods High School. The Silver Streaks outscore the Knights 8-7 in that third quarter, but trail 32-8 going into the final quarter of the season. Galesburg coming up from the Richwoods 34-yard line. This is the 12th play of the drive that started with 6:18 to go in the third quarter. So Silver Streaks trying to put together some positive things here in the second half, trailing by 25 at the half, now trailing 24 going into the fourth quarter, and it's an empty backfield with trips right. Three wideouts to the near side. Anderson under center on 4th and 14. From the 34, a short drop, a quick pass to the sideline. Diggins with a hesitation, a burst forward to the 25-yard line, but 5 yards short of the first down, and the Silver Streaks give it up on downs. Just underway in the fourth quarter.
Same play they tried to run earlier when the ball was thrown behind Diggins and we suffered a loss. That ball right on the money from Will Anderson, and he was able to knife his way through a couple of potential blockers, but not enough to pick up the full 14. As Richwood takes over, they still have not punted yet tonight. Scored on four possessions out of five in the first half. Clock ran out on their fifth one and then took it to the house in a hurry. Their only possession this half.
Just the second pass completion of the night for Will Anderson for only 6 yards. Handoff goes to the left side. Kendrick Foster up to the 28-yard line. Picks up three. So Silver Streaks put together another good long drive. 12 plays. And they took, let's see, 6 minutes and 25 seconds off the clock. Went from their own 19 down to the Richwoods 25-yard line. But, again, no points. That's the second long drive they've had tonight where they failed to score. And they still trail by 24. What a couple of touchdowns after those two long drives would have done in this game, Jim. They, you know, potentially could be down at 22, right around in that area. And then, you know, and then you're talking a ball game.
Well, and Richwoods, oddly enough, has only had in this game one possession in the first quarter and one possession in the entire third quarter. Streaks played keep away, but every time Richwoods gets the ball, it results in points, whether it's short or long period of time. And the Knights working towards the scoreboard, driving north and trying to put up one more score here. Not that they need any icing on this one, but I'm sure they'd love to tack on one more just to make it look good.
On third and one, a dive play right up the middle. Didn't need much, but they got exactly what they needed. Kendrick Foster just across the 35-yard line to the 36. And he's picked up 11 carries on the first 3 yards of this series. And he's now up to 149 yards rushing on the night with a couple of touchdowns. Ryan Mordock, 126 yards rushing. Also two touchdowns for him. New set of downs for the Knights. That's exactly what they intend to do here for a good chunk of this fourth quarter. Oh, Woody Hayes, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Move the chains, move the clock, and move into the locker room with a victory. A handoff and a gain of five up the middle to the 41.
It's interesting, at the quarter break, I had binoculars out and was watching the Silver Streaks sideline, and the entire time, Coach Kelly Kane had the ear of offensive lineman Zane Crowell, and he was teaching technique the whole time. I mean, he was up, you know, sliding side to side and lifting the arms up, and then when he got all done, he popped Zane on top of the head and ran back off the field. I mean, you can tell Kelly, I mean, even though it's a 1-8 season, he's really enjoying what he's doing out there and really loves to see these kids improve.
Foster to the outside with some room to run. Almost got a lead block, but then Trevon Diggins fought off Matt Cruzen on the outside. Foster still gets the first down inside Galesburg territory at the 48, but defensively, a nice job by Diggins on the outside to fight off the defender and make that stop.
Yeah, big-time gang tackle by the Streaks, but not until Knights across the midfield stripe. And not even most of their first unit in. Wes McCormick, starting quarterback, in at least for one more series here.
Foster gained 11 on the play. He has five carries, all five carries on this drive. It's a new set of downs from the Galesburg 48-yard line. Toss into the backfield to Mordock, trying to get to the outside, trying to get the corner, lowers the helmet, tries to put on a hit, and Trevon just shoves him out of bounds at the 39-yard line.
We talked about it at the beginning. We'll say it again. The kid's amazing for as thin as he is and small as he is, and he was not just going to take the easy way out. He lowered his shoulder and tried to put a hit on, and 159 pounds. I guess he's not giving up a whole lot of weight to Trevon Diggins, but he would be to some of those other guys coming over there.
Mordock gained 9 on the play, second and less than a yard from the Galesburg 39-yard line. Interesting discussion with Tim Doherty yesterday that we did not use in the pregame interview. Try to pass on some of those thoughts as we go along here with 9:12 to go in the game. Handoff goes left. Trying to get to the outside. Foster gets the shoulder pads down, bounces off a defender inside the 30, down to the 26-yard line before he's knocked out of bounds. Foster picks up 13 more on the play. Down to the Galesburg 26.
Michael Varner over to make the tackle, but walked away a little surprised by what Foster did at the end there with the big shot that actually where the ball carrier gets the better part of the defenseman there, at least as far as the quality of hit at the end of that play.
Coach Tim Doherty talking about strength and conditioning in this program. He will start the... Oh, here's fumble. A fumble as a strip in from the backside, and the Streaks are going to get it back. Was it Brackett who got it? No, it was Ryden who got in there. Reached in, slipped out. Yeah, somehow he got through the left side of that Richwood's offensive line.
That was all him, too.
He just reached in and stripped it right out of the hands and then fell right on it. So a nice job by Jacob Ryden. And the Streaks take over after the first Knights turnover at the Galesburg 28-yard line.
Jacob Ryden is, we talked, brings that extra bit of physicality and aggressiveness up front that we'd really been lacking at times this year. And he's got another year to go. So that junior, if he continues to improve, might be an all-conference player next year.
Back to pass. Anderson to the near side. Throws behind the intended receiver, Jake Innes. And it falls incomplete. First incomplete pass of the night for Will Anderson. So our final contestant in the Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest this season. A name familiar if you followed Galesburg Athletics for a while. Lorenzo Pugh, working for the school district in a truancy capacity. So if the Silver Streaks score a touchdown in this fourth quarter, Lorenzo wins a $10 gift certificate to Hungry Hobo in Galesburg. Woolsey, tight end right. Two wideouts to the near side, the home side of the field. Handoff, penetration in the backfield. Somehow Mixon gets out of that, fights his way forward to the 30-yard line for a gain of a couple. But very quickly, after an incomplete pass and a short gain, Streaks are facing third and nine here. Maybe third and eight. This little run by Mixon there. Again, it looked like he was dead in the water in the backfield, but he got out of it.
Pushing on towards 9 o'clock here. Almost a two-hour game at this point. Quick first and third quarter. Second quarter took a long time. And senior night, they got taken care of before the kickoff. They introduced the band seniors there at halftime. So they've covered all the bases, I think, here tonight.
Diggins to the outside, trying to cut up field. Wrapped up and then flies forward across the first down marker up to the 40-yard line. Extra effort as he was wrapped up in the midsection. And he just kind of flung himself forward with the ball stretched out in front of him. And are they going to mark him back? Boy, sure looked from over here like he got the first down, but they're going to mark him a yard short.
No decision to be made here. You go for it even though you're in your own territory. Fourth quarter down 32-8. Short yardage. And so far in this second half, we've shown the ability to get a yard or two when we need it. Let's see if we can do it one more time.
Streaks are 2 for 3 on third downs tonight. And now a penalty flies from the outside as the Silver Streaks had offensive movement. Oh, no, it's offsides by Richwoods jumping into the neutral zone and pushing poor Streak center Manny Valdez backward into Will Anderson. And a 5-yard penalty gives the Streaks a fourth down conversion.
Yeah, when you're down there squatted over the ball, you don't get a chance to defend yourself very much, and the guy fires across the line, you just go backwards. But that's all right. We'll take it for the 5 yards and the first down.
Sixth penalty of the night on the Knights for 35 yards. New set of down for the Streaks and a fourth down conversion by penalty at the 43. Handoff right, Mixon tries to get the shoulder pads low. The ball flies free right over to Will Anderson about 5 yards away from the play, and he falls on it. Talk about being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, Will had gotten away after he got rid of the ball. Thought it'd be coming back to him, but he saw it and got on it quickly.
Loss of a yard on the play back to the 42-yard line. Mixon loses one. 114 yards rushing tonight for John Mixon. 27 carries. Streaks huddle up for a long time here. Now breakout. Armstrong and Ennis to the top of the field. Wide left. Offset eye lined up behind Anderson. Mixon the up man. Diggins dotting the eye. A toss to Trevon. Trying to get upfield. He's wrapped up high at the shoulder pads and thrown down for a gain of a yard, maybe. It'll be third and 11.
Richwood's defense starting to get a little more physical here in this fourth quarter.
I'll say. Approaching the midpoint of the fourth quarter. 6:20 to go in the game. 32-8. The Knights on top. Actually spot the ball back at the 40-yard line. Third and 13 upcoming.
Just one of two football facilities here in Peoria. Peoria Stadium being the other. We played there earlier this season against Central. And a number of the Peoria schools share this. We've played Peoria Notre Dame over here a time or two years ago. Played Manuel here.
3 for 9 on third downs. A high swing pass thrown to the outside over Trevon Diggins' head. And incomplete. Now fourth down and 13. Yep. We're certainly familiar with this place over the years, aren't we?
I don't think any time we've played Central, it's always been over at the stadium.
Yep. Manuel. Or did we play Manuel here once?
I think we played Manuel here one time.
Yeah, I think we did now that you mentioned it.
I think it was back when they had that really good quarterback that tore us up and then unfortunately tore up his knee playing us that year.
That's right. That was here. That was not pretty that night. Will Anderson. Is he going a quick kick here? He's in the shotgun, and he does. He boots it away with nobody downfield to receive, and a good kick by Will, too. It's going to roll all the way inside the 10.
Very effective.
Down inside the 8, close to the 7-yard line where the Streaks will down it. Derek Armstrong pounds it on the ground with 5:29 to go in the game and in the season for the Silver Streaks.
Many areas, well, all the statewide teams that are in contention for the playoffs. We'll find out by tomorrow night who they'll be playing and maybe not when. Sometimes it takes into Monday to get that all decided,
yep,
as to just what times they're going to play and even the date. But they do have the pairings out by tomorrow night. It's not, it doesn't take as it used to be. Sometimes you'd be up to 11 or 12 o'clock at night trying to figure out who's going where. But now with better communications and a better overall system, they usually have those out in the early to mid-evening.
Don't see any new updates from United Township. Rich Central still leading the Panthers 21-0. Of course, they are out of playoff contention with just those two victories. Moline is on the board with a field goal just before halftime, but they still trail Rich South 18-3. Holloman leads Kankakee 21-0. And nothing new in the second half with Quincy still leading Jerseyville 21-6. Second and six here for the Knights from their own 12-yard line. And now we'll hold things off here with a flag down from the line, from the side judge.
A little surprised to see Alleman vault back into the number one spot in Class 4A this week. And until I saw that the teams ahead of them all lost, there's not a single team in Class 4A that's undefeated.
Wow.
I don't know the last time that's been that a class didn't have an undefeated team going into week nine, but that was the case in 4A.
Penalty against the Silver Streaks, their first of the night. An offsides penalty makes it second and one up to the Richwood 17-yard line. How about that? The first penalty of the night on the Silver Streaks. And now here's a run up the middle, and Mordock getting to the outside. And here he goes. Off to the races, downfield. He's going to take it all the way for the touchdown. No flags down. Mo Washburn with an 83-yard touchdown run makes it 38-8 Richwoods.
Probably got to put Mordock at over 200 yards total offense tonight. He's had, what, an 80 and an 83 for a score. Caught a couple of passes.
So 83 yards for senior, or excuse me, for junior Mo Washburn, 5'9", 164 pounds, a 30-point Richwoods lead with 4:27 to go in the game. Now they even put a backup kicker in, Justin Cole. It's been Daniel Sinclair, the senior, for the most part. They're going to put sophomore Justin Cole in. It's a little guy. And a penalty before the Knights even get this one snapped away. That's going to move him back 5 yards for the extra point. Here's some scores for you, Jim. Stark County beat West Central 42-14.
No surprise there.
Nope. At halftime, Mercer County over River Valley.
Ooh.
41-12.
They scored 12?
Yep. Streaks with another block. Trevon Diggins with another block on the extra point. And at the half, Ridgewood over West Prairie, 48-0. At halftime.
Yeah, there's some teams out there that just really don't have much going for them. And hopefully in the years ahead they'll be able to have a better day, because there are a few of them out there that just have no chance week after week.
Silver Streaks, meanwhile, not having a whole lot of fun tonight here either. Now down 38-8 after the extra point blocked for the second time tonight. 4:27 to go in the game. The Knights took only 58 seconds off the clock. Two plays included a 5-yard penalty on the Silver Streaks, 92 yards in 58 seconds.
So what did we decide? Was that Washburn who got the touchdown?
That was Mo Washburn.
Okay, instead of Mordock.
83-yard run.
Okay.
So they took 58 seconds off the clock in 92 yards. It's 38-8 Knights. Thanks for being with us here on WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14. Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you from Richwoods High School. Brian Prescott, our broadcast engineer. As a Silver Streak, now Sinclair back in for the kickoff. Washington and the kick headed toward Trevon Diggins, who backs up with his back foot, apparently not touching the goal line. He runs to the outside, trying to get up the Galesburg sideline to the 30, and it looked like he got hit from behind and rolled down at the 35. I want to send our thoughts to Dakota Smith, did not get to play tonight in his final game on the high school level. He injured his ankle in PE, of all things, on Wednesday and ended up having to miss his final game as a senior. So that's tough for anybody. Feel bad for Dakota to come this far. On the flip side, very happy for Tyler Brackett that he's able to get back and play tonight on his final game, as he also had a foot injury earlier. Always mixed emotions in the final game of the season. Anderson on the play across the middle, and a big hit on Colton Woolsey after the catch. He gains 8 up to the 43-yard line, but a big smack knocks him down. He hangs on to the ball, though. Second and two coming up. 4 minutes to go in the game.
Yeah, you know, Dakota Smith with the ankle injury, there might be a few positions where, depending on the severity of it, you could wrap it up and play. But where Dakota plays in the defensive secondary, you just can't. I mean, you've got to pretty well be 100%, because you're the last gasp before a touchdown a lot of times, and covering speedy receivers, and Dakota just not able to go tonight.
Out of the shotgun, swing pass to the near side. Mixon goes up for it, and he works his way into first down territory across the 45, out of bounds at the Richwood's 47-yard line. Again, a kind of a slowly developing play. Anderson did get the ball to Mixon, and he really had to work for it. It looked like he came down with it a yard behind the line of scrimmage, but really fought his way forward to the 47-yard line for a pickup of 4 more and enough for the first down. So back-to-back pass completions for Will Anderson. First completion, or first catch of the night, for John Mixon. Only 18 yards passing tonight for Will Anderson. In the shotgun again, across the middle of the field, and it's intercepted and tripping and falling just across the 40-yard line. Mikhail Davis out of the secondary came up with it, and he was wide open. Yeah, I mean, yeah. He could have run.
If he doesn't fall, it's 6 more.
Yeah, he just kind of tripped himself up, it looked like. So a break for the Silver Streaks despite the interception.
Yeah.
But the Knights take over at their own 41.
And a nice job by Davis. It was one of those. He was just laying in the weeds that time. He was hoping that Will would throw the ball in that neighborhood, and he just came right over in front of the intended target. Nice interception, but again, slipped down there. He would have gone 60 yards untouched for a touchdown, I'm confident. And now he's going to play a little quarterback now. Guess that's his reward.
Yeah, why not? So as Jim speculated earlier, the starter, Wes McCormick, now out of the game as they got to get ready for the playoffs next week. And the Streaks swarm across the running back at the 40-yard line as with a couple of new guys in there. That was Washburn, who just ran off the big play, big touchdown run a moment ago. And with the new quarterback in, not quite so crisp on the handoff. And the Streaks pounded him for a loss of a yard. Under the 40-yard line.
Under the 3-minute mark. Especially if Richwoods gets one more first down here, this will be a quick 3 minutes.
Handoff goes to the right side. Everybody getting stood up. Davis had it, got to the 43-yard line, it looked like, and knocked backwards. Picks up 3 more. It'll be 3rd and 9. So we mentioned basketball season coming up. Jim and I will be back together. You know, I guess I didn't look at the season. We are on the night before Thanksgiving again, aren't we?
Yes.
To open the season.
Last year we opened a couple of nights earlier than that with that Moline game.
Yep.
And Moline's playing in it again, but we're not playing them. That
didn't sit real well.
No,
last
it did
year.
Not at all. And so that won't happen, but we will play the night before Thanksgiving, then I think twice Friday, twice Saturday.
So spend Black Friday here on WGIL with the Silver Streaks and the black and gold. Washburn no gain on third down. So for the first time tonight, with 1:30 to go in the game, the Richwoods Knights will finally have to punt, leading by 30. Good snap, good kick, a very impressive kick. Washington camps under it, does not make the fair catch, and he'll pay for it. Dragged down at the 21. 1:17 to go in the season.
They didn't have to punt but once tonight, but all it took was one look at that kid, the way he booted that ball. He's got a nice punter. He got nice, about as high a kick as we've seen all year, Daniel Sinclair, and he made it look easy, too.
Sure did. And on a cold night, too.
Uh-huh.
Very nice. Well, they're actually going to mark the ball close to the 23. I'm beginning to taste pumpkin pie ice cream, Jim. I don't care how cold it is. You don't get pumpkin pie ice cream but once during the year. 1 month out of the year. We'll be headed that way soon. Here's a nice handoff up the middle. Nice little run across a hole up to the 30-yard line. And that was Cedric Washington, who picks up eight. Of course, Washington's high school football career winding down here. Silver Streaks, not many seniors in the starting lineup, as we mentioned. A junior-dominated team. But Washington's one of the few seniors. Derek Armstrong, Jake Innes, Tyler Brackett, Drew Carlson. Among the many Silver Streaks who will be calling it a career after this game here tonight.
Yeah, Washington got one more. We might get one more snap off, and about half of the Richwoods crowd is already making their way out to the parking lot. They've said, well, we sat on the cold bleachers long enough tonight.
Down to 15 seconds to go in the season. Freshmen and sophomores will play one more game tomorrow, and then their seasons will be over as well. Out of the eye, final play of the season with 5 seconds to go. The handoff goes left, and the dive forward enough for the first down up to the 35-yard line, but zeros showing on the clock as Cedric Washington gets the final carry of the season, and the Silver Streaks fall by a final of 38-8. They win their opener, and they lose every game after that to finish at 1-8. The Knights, meanwhile, have won 6 in a row and go into the playoffs next week at 6-3. Take a break when we come back on the postgame show. Final thoughts from head coach Tim Doherty. Final statistics, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game, and our final thoughts as well. Galesburg falls tonight 38-8. The postgame show is next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Oh, you look so tiny.
That pumpkin is the same size she is.
She's getting kind of heavy, Mom.
Everybody smile.
Can we go play in the shop fort now?
Anyone get our faces painted?
Hey, wait for me!
While you guys are playing, I'll find some snacks.
Then I'd like to get pictures of you guys riding the ponies, feeding the animals, and chasing each other through the corn maze.
Time to go, guys.
Aww.
They're even cuter when they're asleep.
There's nothing like spending the day with your little pumpkins at Country Corner. Bruce and Lantern here. We have activities for all ages under Bruce's big top tent and throughout the farm. We grew pumpkins upside down this year and painted them to look spooky. You gotta see them. We have live music and the concession stand will keep you from going hungry. Country Corner, rain or shine, farm fresh fun, open daily just north of Alpha on Route 150. Visit country-corner.com.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do. Who do you call? Who can you trust to make your car look like new? Where there's only one name you need to know, there's only one place to go.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
Sir. Stay with us, sir.
Doctor, is he going to be okay?
What happened to put him in this condition?
He went out to get the mail, opened the power bill, and then collapsed.
I've seen a lot of this lately. High power billitis.
When you suffer from high power bills, there's only one person who can save you. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Power bills that make you sick are indicative of a serious but curable condition. Call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL has been brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. This is healthcare. Dave's Auto Body. You better call Dave's. Pratty Insurance Agency, your local Pekin Insurance Agency in Galesburg. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square in downtown. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Thorne's Pets and Supplies, building a bond between you and your pet. By Breed Love Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. And by Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast. Clear skies tonight, overnight low of 39. Sunny tomorrow with a high of 65. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, overnight low of 46. Sunny on Sunday, a bit warmer as well with a high of 72. Low of 46 Sunday night. Monday, sunny and a high of 68. The extended forecast Monday night and Tuesday, chances for showers. High of 70 on Tuesday. Currently downtown Galesburg, it's 42 at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Back at Richwoods High School, where the Silver Streaks fall by a final of 38-8. Tell you how things happened here tonight. And it started off quickly for the Richwoods Knights, who scored on their opening possession, a 10-play scoring drive that covered 61 yards, took 4 minutes 39 seconds off the clock. Kendrick Foster, a 4-yard run, and the extra point made it 7-0. Silver Streaks took over on the next play, on the next drive, a 16-play drive, but they did not score. Went from their own 20 down to the Richwoods 20, went from the 7-12 mark of the first quarter to the 11-15 mark of the second quarter, but again, they did not score. The Knights took over on the very next play. Out of the backfield, Ryan Mordock, an 80-yard touchdown run. The kick was blocked, and it was 13-0. Richwoods on top. Silver Streaks on their next possession, two plays, and a Cedric Washington fumble. The Knights took over from their own from the Galesburg 31-yard line. A 31-yard pass play from quarterback Wes McCormick to Clayton Glasper. The extra point run, the pass failed. It was 19-0. Silver Streaks punted on their next possession. Richwoods took over with 8:13 to go in the first half, put together a 12-play scoring drive that covered 58 yards, and Mordock finished it off with a 1-yard touchdown plunge. Took just under 4 minutes off the clock. The kick was no good. It was 25-0 at the half. Silver Streaks came out in the second half on their opening possession, ended up with a scoring drive, their first and only of the game, 10 plays, 65 yards. Mixon ran it in from 15 yards out, and Will Anderson ran the two-point conversion. It was 25-8. But Richwoods wasted hardly any time at all, coming back in four plays, 63 yards. Took a minute 23 off the clock. Kendrick Foster, a 30-yard touchdown run. The kick made it 32-8. And then the Knights got on the board one more time late with a run by Mo Washburn of 83 yards. The Streaks blocked the kick in the final score, 38-8. Take a break here on the post-game show. Hugs down on the field as the Silver Streaks break huddle for the final time. When we come back, Jim Anderson will talk with Streaks head coach Tim Doherty on WGIL and WGIL.com.
A lot of daily repetitive motion can lead to loss of range of motion, causing you pain. Sarah Haynes, physical therapist for OSF St. Mary Medical Center, specializes in exercise to help relieve back pain.
The McKenzie Method is a self-treatment program. So the patient is given exercises and postural correction and basically taught how to treat their own problem. And usually if they follow through with a maintenance program that can take just 2 or 3 minutes a day, they can significantly reduce their pain.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center. This is healthcare.
The Nissan Altima, Consumer Reports number one rated sedan, now with $1,000 cash plus 0% financing for 60 months, and it gets up to 38 miles per gallon. Stop by for a test drive. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at dickersonphotography.com. And by Office Specialists Incorporated, where your office is their business.
It's a travel day for the St. Louis Cardinals as they head to Texas for Game 3 of the World Series tomorrow night. We'll have the broadcast with pregame coverage at 6, the first pitch at 7:05 Saturday on WGIL.
Still waiting a word from Streaks head coach Tim Doherty here at Richwoods, where the Galesburg Silver Streaks end their season with a 38-8 loss. In the Quad Cities, United Township trails Rich Central 29-0 in the third quarter. Moline trails Rich South 18-3. And at last word, Alleman was on top as well. It looks like they lead Kankakee 21-0, and Quincy leads Jerseyville 21-6. Let's go down on the field now. Jim Lee is with head coach Tim Doherty.
Hi, thanks, Brad. Down on the field now with head coach Tim Doherty, talking things over with some of the folks that he's familiar with down here. And, of course, the seniors, their last game, a lot of those fellows exchanging handshakes. In fact, he had the entire team make sure they shook the hands of the seniors as they come off the field. And coach, you know, tough one tonight, but you knew it was going to be. Second half, the kids competed. In fact, in the first and third quarters, you held them to one possession. Unfortunately, all it takes them a minute or two to score sometimes. So it's a tough team to defend.
Well, we've played eight very good football teams in the last 8 weeks, and that was probably the best football team. And again, a credit to our kids. It's very easy to lay over and play dead and get hugs for losing, and our kids have not done that, and they've battled against a very good football team tonight, and they know they were in a football game. And our first series, you know, we just have to get in the weight room and, you know, put some power behind our punch. But I'm real proud of our kids. It had been very easy just to lay down and roll over, but we didn't do that.
You know, we talked at halftime, you'd contained Kendrick Foster. It looked like that first possession they had in the third quarter, they were pretty intent on focusing on him, and that was really the one drive of the game where he was a big factor.
Well, I mean, anybody that's seen Richwood's play, they've got more than Foster. He's their biggest threat, but, you know, they've got a lot of weapons. I mean, they got a lot of weapons, and that's what makes them hard to defend. But we knew we had to take away the fullback, and he busted a couple in the second half, but our kids did a real nice job with him.
Like you tried to get Trevon Diggins involved a little more in that third quarter. Were effective for a while, but then they kind of caught up with you there.
Well, they did, but again, we had some Trevon had some key runs there, and you know, John and Trevon, thank goodness they're back. They've really carried the load for us. So, well, you know, I'm real proud of our kids. They hung in there and kept playing football.
Yeah, Jonathan had some bruising runs tonight. He was dragging tacklers with him.
He did, you know, and John's, like I said, he's grown up this year tremendously, and then, you know, he's an explosive back. And again, credit the offensive line. You know, it's just taking time to get the kinks worked out, get kids in the right spot, and a part of that is them too.
What did you tell the kids as you huddled here after the game, the final game of the season?
Well, you know, I thank the seniors. I think it's important to thank seniors, whether it's, you know, it's my first year here, but those guys have been true to the finish, and I told the juniors to look around, take inventory. You know, there's no replacement for strength on a football field, and that's built in the off season, and we'll get that done. But you know, I like capturing moments, and again, I said, you know, what we did in the first and third quarter, that's how we're going to play football here.
I'm going to say, looking ahead to next year, got a lot of kids coming back, didn't have much experience this year. And as you've said, really from day one, we need to be stronger. And so a lot of what happens the 9 weeks next fall is going to be dependent on what happens between now and then, I'm sure.
No question. I mean, you win championships in the off season. That's a mindset that I'm trying to instill in here. And it will, you know, but it takes time. It just didn't have enough time in the last off season, obviously. So, you know, the kids will work. I'm real proud of the Galesburg kids, and, we'll get it right.
Okay. Well, hopefully you'll keep the coaching staff intact. We've enjoyed working with all you guys again, and we'll see you here next year.
You bet, and thanks for covering us. You've been a pleasure.
Tim Doherty, as always, our thanks for his time following every game this season, despite the eight losses and certainly after the one win very early on. 38-8 the final here as the streaks fall to Richwoods on their senior night. We'll continue with the post-game show coming up after this on WGIL and WGIL.com.
The Nissan Altima, Consumer Reports' number one rated sedan, now with $1,000 cash plus 0% financing for 60 months, and it gets up to 38 miles per gallon. Stop by for a test drive. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown.
Green is in. Many of us are eco-friendly by driving hybrid cars, recycling, and even growing our own vegetables. Pratty Insurance, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance agency in Galesburg, can help put more green back in your pocket. If your auto and home are both insured with Rockford Mutual Insurance, you can save dollars off your premium. Call me, Mike Pratty, at Pratty Insurance for more information today to start saving.
I felt so silly. Here I was always asking someone for a ride or waiting for an invite to tag along. Then the other day on my way to class, a city bus stopped by and some students got on. The bus! I Googled Galesburg Bus and discovered a city bus stops near the Knox campus twice an hour, and it's very economical for students. I go shopping, to the movies, out to eat, get a pedicure, whatever I want.
I'm Craig McCluskey. Use Galesburg Transit. Catch us now.
Breaking news. Local McDonald's have been reporting mysterious disappearances of their soda fountain machines. In their place, someone is leaving a single dollar bill. Where could all these soda fountains be going? The only clue is this mysterious sound.
They came for Earth's treasure and found it at McDonald's. Refresh your spirit with an any size fountain drink like an icy Dr. Pepper for just a dollar. While you still can. Prices and participation may vary. For a limited time, a la carte only.
Play-by-play coverage of GHS football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Buffalo Wild Wings. Stop in after the varsity football game for 45-cent traditional wings every Friday. By Go Outside and Play, running and walking at your pace on Seminary Street in Galesburg. And by Bob's Automotive Service at the corner of East Main and Chambers in Galesburg.
Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Go through the final stats from this game tonight. The Silver Streaks fall by a final of 38-8 to the Richwoods Knights. We'll start off with Richwoods, the victorious team. 34 carries as a team for 387 yards tonight, led by Kendrick Foster. 21 carries for 177 yards and two touchdowns. Ryan Mordock, 7 carries for 135 yards and two touchdowns. Only 3 carries late in wrap-up time for Mill Washburn, but one of them was an 83-yard touchdown run for him. The backup quarterback, Mikhail Davis, 1 carry for 3 yards. Wes McCormick had 2 carries for minus 10. He was sacked once and then lost 9 on a fumble recovery. Through the air, though, McCormick effective, 4 for 6 passing tonight for 69 yards. 38 of those to Mordock on 3 catches. And Clayton Glasper's only reception of the night was a 31-yard touchdown catch. 5 penalties for the Knights for 35 yards. They had only 15 minutes and 12 seconds in time of possession, as the Silver Streaks put together 3 long drives, but only one of those resulted in a touchdown. Talk about their time of possession. Silver Streaks had, forgot to write down the very last part of it there. A little over 3 minutes there. So they had better than 31 minutes of time of possession tonight, but again, lose 38-8. On the ground, Silver Streaks 51 carries for 229 yards. John Mixon leads the way, 27 carries for 114 yards and the only touchdown of the night for the Streaks. 10 carries for Trevon Diggins for 53 yards. Cedric Washington picked up 36 yards on the ground on 7 carries. Also 7 carries for Will Anderson for 26 yards. Anderson 4 for 7 passing with an interception. Only 18 yards through the air tonight. 6 to Trevon Diggins, 8 to Colton Woolsey, and 4 to John Mixon. Streaks had only 1 penalty tonight for 5 yards. Back to wrap things up from Richwoods with our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game after this on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do. Who do you call? Who can you trust to make your car look like new? Where there's only one name you need to know, there's only one place to go.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
Sir, stay with us, sir.
Doctor, is he going to be okay?
What happened to put him in this condition?
He went out to get the mail, opened the power bill, and then collapsed.
I've seen a lot of this lately. High power billitis.
When you suffer from high power bills, there's only one person who can save you. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Power bills that make you sick are indicative of a serious but curable condition. Call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
I'm talking, but they're not listening. Could you explain to your furry pals that Thorne's didn't go out of business? They moved. Thorne's Pets and Supplies has reopened on Prairie Street. They needed more space for their huge selection of dog and cat food. They've got everything under the sun. All the cool cats are shopping there, and the dogs give it 2 paws up. Plus a dog wash. Yes, you can give your dog a bath right at the store. No more messes in your bathroom at home.
Thorne's Pets and Supplies, now at 56 North Prairie Street, across from Stone Hays in Galesburg. Dedicated to improving the bond between you and your pet.
Satire at its best. The Dennis Miller Show. Weeknights at 6 on Galesburg Radio 14. WGIL.
Final thoughts from Richwoods High School tonight, where the Silver Streaks fall by a final of 38-8. They end their season 1-8. Meanwhile, the Richwoods Knights have won 6 in a row, started off 0-3, have won their next 6, and they will continue on into the playoffs next week. Our final order of business, the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. Jim shot down all my ideas that I had tonight, so thanks a lot for that.
Just trying to spread the wealth around.
Yeah, we really are, and we always try to do that, and it's not easy tonight. The kids who we thought were the best candidates have already done it. That doesn't mean that we automatically rule them out, but as Jim said, we do try to spread the wealth.
Right. Well, and on senior night, you try and kind of lean a little bit towards one of the seniors, too. And Drew Carlson had a nice night. He's won it once. So we had the nice strip and fumble recovery by Jacob Ryden. He won it once a few weeks back. And trying to think of some others that had some impact. And I don't know, I kind of lean a little bit toward Jake Ennis, I guess. Jake has been doing some good things all year long, and he had probably the biggest hit of the night.
Sure
you
did.
Know, you don't expect Jake to come up and give you a big hit, but he had one on one of their receivers, and really he's one of those kids that's really coachable, and I think it really a joy for the coaching staff to have him, because he's going to do whatever they ask, and another guy that plays the game really pretty undersized at times too.
Yeah.
And just gets the most out of what he has. So I think it goes Jake Ennis tonight.
Fair enough. Jake Ennis, our final Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game for the 2011 football season. Basketball season's coming up, but again, Coach Tim Doherty talking about the off season, and in the conversation I had with him yesterday, it's built in the weight room. Mm-hmm. So I think he's feeling a lot better about the direction of the fundamentals that this team is playing, and certainly felt that he saw improvement from this team, but with a lot of juniors coming back and a full year under his belt. He was hired back in January, but didn't come here until June, really. So he was doing a lot of back and forth at his old job to this job. So that wasn't easy for him, I know. And I think we're both anxious to see what he can get done in the off season, and a full season under his belt and a full season with a group of kids and a good group of kids coming back next year.
Yeah, and again, hopefully he'll be able to keep this good coaching staff intact, because I think you give these guys a little time and the right talent out there. This is a good coaching staff, a lot of experience out there, and each one has their specialty, and I think you'll see some good things, but Rome wasn't built in a day, and they'll be certainly more experienced. This year's team just was not very experienced, not very many varsity minutes. And it showed in the one loss record.
Well, despite the games, always a pleasure to be with you, my longtime partner, and appreciate it. It's fun as always.
Yes, we will take a few weeks apart and then get back together the week into Thanksgiving. And seems like we play almost every day for about 3 months the basketball
sure
season
enough.
Comes.
And our thanks as well to Brian Prescott, our broadcast engineer tonight, the best in the business, and always wonderful to work with Brian, because we know things will be in great shape with him holding down the fort for us at the studios. Our thanks to you as well, our listeners and our advertisers, for being with us for Silver Streaks football here on WGIL throughout this 2011 season. We'll be back with you in about a month for the beginning of the high school girls and boys basketball seasons from Galesburg High School. For Brian Prescott, for Jim Lee, I'm Brad Benowitz. Good night from Richwoods High School.
Thanks for listening to Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL. This has been a WGIL sports presentation.